thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Wednesday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, where today we learn that Biden's Uncle Bosie was shot down in a plane and possibly eaten by African cannibals. Day 1188. Put the Eric in America. Say hello to Easy.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Double H. We'll hear from her. Heather has answers in the next hour. Dark history at the top of the third. Our buddy John Jensen, the voice of reason. Top of the last hour. Your remarks delivered to the Florida Man Radio app between those things. Seven jurors been picked in Trump's criminal trial. Hold on, I can't let the cannibal thing go without just giving you the...
Yeah, you got to pay that off.
I got to pay that off right away. Yet another story has been added to the storied life of Joe Biden and the Biden family. I think so far that this is the best.
Ambrose Finnegan, they called him Uncle Bosie. He was shot down. He was Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there, and they checked and found parts of the plane and the like. I was thinking about when I was standing there.
So his grandfather, who they knew, as Uncle Bosie, Ambrose Finnegan, was flying a U.S. Army Air, before there was an Air Force, a single-engine reconnaissance plane over New Guinea, was shot down in an area known for cannibals, and they found his plane, but they never found his body, which, by the way, is a weird way to get to this next statement.
Refused to go up to the memorial for veterans in Paris. And he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
Grandpa Finnegan did not get eaten by cannibals and be called a sucker and a loser.
Just to be called a sucker and a loser. what a maniac. I might as well hit the old man rambling here while we're... This is a... This is your great uncle, half asleep after a big meal, just trying to tell you a story, and you're trying to listen, but you have no idea where he's going in the story. And it keeps just going and going.
One day I showed up at Off-Year Convention, and I was in the motel, after the local motel, getting changed after the afternoon session, go back to the evening session. I'd come down with some young activists, a little older than me, but still young activists, who were involved in trying to reform the party. And I was in one of those 8x10 bathrooms, you know, they have, shower, toilet, and a sink, and I got a towel on me and shaving cream, and I hear bam, bam, bam at my door, really loudly. And I wonder, what the hell is that? I thought it was this guy, Bob Cunningham, at a radio show, and a couple other guys. So I said, okay, guys. And I walked to the door and opened it up, and standing there was the former governor of the state of Delaware, Elbert N. Carville, a big guy, about 6'5", talked at you like this. And the state representative who got defeated 4 years earlier as a Democratic state rep who was retired. And one of the, from the family that had more senators appointed than any other family in American history. To the tunnels and a former retired justice.
Don't you think right about then the Secret Service and everyone like, oh, we need to move in here and rescue. Please help us.
And the state chairman. And they said, I'm standing in a towel and shaving cream on my face.
Was that the whole point of the story? That
was the payoff, was he was standing there showering.
In a towel with shaving cream on his face.
Woo! I mean, that is the old man of most old man stories I may have ever heard before.
It's worse. I mean, it's that's horrible. So about 7 jurors have been selected in the Trump criminal trial and the payola, whatever you want to call it, hush money. Here's what we know. The 4 person is married, lives in West Harlem, and works in sales, and is originally from Ireland. Okay. I'm trying to, you know, all it takes is one. Another juror is a young black woman who has friends with opinions about Trump, but said she's not a political person. She said that she respected that Trump always speaks his mind. She's definitely going to vote guilty.
Yeah.
Oregon native that works as a corporate lawyer. He said they enjoy hiking and running. He's lived in Chelsea for 5 years. Guilty. A female software engineer that lives in Chelsea, guilty. 40-year-old Lower East Side resident who said he found Trump fascinating and mysterious. He said, quote, he walks into a room and he sets people off one way or the other. He's an IT consultant. He said, I find that really interesting. Really, this guy can do all of this? Wow, that's what I think. Hey, you may have a guy there that, you know. A female oncology nurse who lives on the Upper East Side, that's a guilty. A civil litigator that lives on the Upper East Side, he told the court that he enjoys reading the Post and other outlets. He indicated that he would also able to serve fairly and impartially. That's a guilty. You know, you try to sneak one in there. If I was selected for this, then I realized what it was. I'd go in there and lefty it up. You know, I really don't know much about Trump. I get my news from CNN and MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, and New York Times. But you know, I'm not really. I
spend most of my time doing local activism and things like that. Just helping out the community.
I really have no opinion on him. And then I sleep through the whole trial, which they say Trump was asleep. It's funny that Trump looked as if he felt like he'd fallen asleep, right? His eyes were, he just had closed his eyes, but his head was up and he's holding his one hand over another. But he hadn't like nodding off. And so people just, even Biden gave him some crap about it, which is odd because Biden has fallen asleep at a NATO meeting, a meeting with the Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, 2 separate climate summits. And while meeting with the Maui fire families of the fire victims, and just the other day with Petr Paul, the leader of the Czech Republic, which he called Czechoslovakia, which hasn't existed since the 90s.
Yeah, but that's when he really remembers things was the 90s. So,
I mean, Trump's standing in, you know, he's sitting in a courtroom with Ford Iyer picking a jury, probably one of those boring, but he must be there. And a lot of people think he's just trying to look like he's asleep, maybe to get some reaction from the judge or maybe to show his deference to the judge or, you know, he's.
I mean, I would if I was him, too, to sleep because apparently anything else he does, the judge immediately thinks he's jury tampering. Because yeah. Apparently he was talking to his lawyer loud enough that they think the juror may have been able to hear it. And the judge admonished him, said, oh, no, I'm not going to let you do that type of thing here in my courtroom, which I found out that he has never tried a criminal case before.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty big case to put a guy that's never tried a criminal case before in his first case.
They put him in there because I heard today a list of places he's donated money. One of them was Stop Republicans, a pack called Stop Republicans. There's no way he gets a fair trial. There are people that say they're worried about the jurors' safety. A former federal prosecutor, Ankush Kadori, said, I'm worried about their safety of them. He told Wolf Blitzer that some of the jurors may be concerned about the amount of personal information being made public about them. The first 7 jurors have been picked. He said, I'm wondering if some of them, I might be a little unhappy with the amount of information that's being made public about them. Not, you know, now this is not the fault of the media. I want to be clear about that. Responsibility to guard all this very specific information that we're learning resides with the DA's office and with the judge. I'm a little surprised that we're learning all of this because I don't think this jury is going to remain anonymous necessarily if they keep this up. Well, all it takes is one, right?
And of course they're not going to remain anonymous because the moment they get their first chance in the spotlight, every one of them is going to try to run to it to get a book deal out of it or something
else. How I buried Trump. I sent Trump to jail. this is a little alarming. I in California, Democrats in the Senate Public Safety Committee, lawmakers, there was a bill introduced by a senator, a woman named Shannon Grove. She's a Republican. And these Democrats objected to it. The bill were efforts to protect 16 and 17-year-old children from being purchased as part of commercial sex trafficking. Current California law makes it a misdemeanor for anybody that purchases or solicits a minor for sex. A misdemeanor. A sentence, jail sentence of 2 days to 1 year and a maximum fine of $10,000 to purchase and or have sex with a 16 or 17 year old. It went after human traffickers that are selling kids for sex. Her proposal would make it a felony. And regardless of whether or not the person knew the minor was under the age of 18, it would send the violators for prison for 2 to 4 years and have a fine of $25,000. Anyone convicted would be required to register as a sex offender for 10 years. The had a lot of backing from some Democrats. But from the start of the hearing, they started adding amendments in the hopes of finding some middle ground on this thing with the Democrats on the committee. They agreed to remove they wanted them to remove the strict liability from the bill, remove the requirement for violators to register as sex offenders. Senators Aisha Wahab, Nancy Skinner, and Scott Wiener disagreed, listening to opposition. So in the state of California, here are the reasons. Wiener said, well, this is an incredibly overbroad bill. And it goes well beyond human trafficking. And I think human trafficking, we should be throwing the book at those people. This bill will sweep in a lot of people that are not trafficked. This bill will send people to state prison, but put people in the sex offender registry and effectively ends their life. They said it might instead make kids that want to sell themselves into sex into felons. Regulating the tobacco industry, but not commercial sexual exploitation of children seems rather troublesome to me. Buying a child for sex at any age ought to be treated as a serious crime. That's Shannon Grove talking. But they said that it should not be a felony. They also decreased the fine to try to get them to vote for it from $25,000 to $10,000. So one senator said she argued that the solicitation of 16 and 17-year-olds should be excluded from being a felony because, quote, that could have devastating consequences for teens and young adults who make the choice to solicit sex from a 16-year or 17-year-old. And also, law enforcement may use it to unfairly target the LGBTQ community.
I was waiting for that one. I knew it was coming. There's the term that is solicit, so as in paying for sex. So just because they're a teen doesn't make it any different if they're paying for sex with a prostitute than if an adult is paying for sex with a prostitute.
Other than the fact that they're underage.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the same. There's still a teen paying for sex with a prostitute, which more than likely is a sex trafficked prostitute.
Right, right. Teens and young adults that make the choice to solicit sex from a 16 or 17-year-old. I mean, that's kind of splitting hairs. But a devastating consequence for those teens, young adults that want to solicit sex from other teens? That's a devastating. Mm-hmm. God. Speaking of cannibalism, there's a bill going around. Is this really in reaction to the that really effed with my brain video where the Haitian guy grabbing a hunk of calf meat off a burning body in the street and taking a bite out of it?
I don't know if that falls under that.
Well, State House representative there in Idaho has introduced a bill expanding the already existing anti-cannibalism law prompted by that video. They say it's a prank video. That wasn't a prank video, was it?
So they're saying, trying to find exactly the video that they're talking about.
It's not that.
The clip that was sent to Idaho State was from a True TV prank show in which they pretend to feed people flesh.
Oh. Way to go. That's Idaho. I don't know if they have a problem there currently or not.
I mean, is it, again, is it bad? We're in the doldrums of a legislative session right now. Does it hurt to put a law that says cannibalism is bad?
Does it hurt?
Yeah, does it hurt? I mean,
why? There's already anti-cannibalism laws on the books.
He wants to tighten them down a little bit more.
The U.S. Government Accountability Office. Listen to this. If fraud were an agency, it would be the federal government's sixth largest agency. Think about that. They estimate the annual fraud cost taxpayers pay around $521 billion annually. That's 7% of the average federal obligations. I mean, that's, and then you start thinking about it. Why would they really care? You know, I know they caught a lot of people on this, the pandemic fraud, the COVID, whatever what it was called. They scammed that. What was that thing called? To help your business.
Yeah, the PPP loans.
Yeah. And it was rife, ready for fraud. I mean, they were just handing it out. There's hardly any questions. You wrote the stuff down. You fill out the application. Whatever they said, whatever you said, they went by as the word of God. No one checked into it at all. They write the check. Here you go.
Yeah. That was the payroll protection where there were some of them when they went back and looked because they needed an image for a picture to go along with the loan. Right. And it had, like, Ken doll faces on it. And other than people had just loaded up and got money.
What, I remember the one in particular in Georgia, where the guy had a move, said he had a moving company, 200 employees, a fleet of 50 trucks. Turns out he did have a moving company. It's him and his like a cousin Roy. Months after he applied, the guy is literally driving home in a Lamborghini. No one's gonna buy that Cletus has a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a significant amount of fraud every single year. They say there are more ways to put the fraud estimates into context. At the high end of the estimate, 521, that's enough to for the U.S. Air Force to buy 751 nuclear-capable B-21 stealth bombers, which costs $692 million a plane. And just right out the window. But we want to find out where your $600 transaction is going. You son of a bitch. When we return, a white student union, it is a non-sanctioned club at a high school in Camden County, New Jersey, is being investigated. Of course, it's non-sanctioned, right?
They can't sanction. You couldn't have one.
Yeah. Apparently, they've heard them use racial language. So when we return, we'll review the Black Student Union at Auburn's list of racial slurs they made up for white people. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
It looks like we're in a similar situation right now. The Uncle Bozy story. Let me replay that for you so you fully understand the way Biden tells the story, how his grandfather, who he called Uncle Bozy, may have been eaten by cannibals. Let me get the very beginning of it. There we go.
Ambrose Finnegan, when they called him Uncle Bozy, he was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. Flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found parts of the plane and the like. And what
So, as it turns out, Uncle Bozy, that story's already been debunked. He was not a pilot. He was aboard a twin engine, not a single engine. It was not a reconnaissance flight. It was a
courier mission.
Courier. It did not crash in a land anywhere known for cannibals. In fact, it crashed into the sea. And both engines failed, and everyone on board sank with the plane.
One guy escaped, but it was not Uncle Bozy.
Oh, okay. One guy got out?
Yeah.
Wow. Good for him. Oh, no also, cannibals.
I love how he says that before they called it the Air Force's, the article with talking about them from the when he, they both brothers went from Delaware newspaper says both are in the U.S. Army Air Forces and are attached to a Flying Fortress ground crew.
What is a cannibal? Is why even bring up cannibals?
Don't know.
I mean, you know, if you're serving your country and you die in a plane crash, I don't care if you're delivering condoms to the troops. You gave your life for your country, right?
Yeah, but he insinuated he got eaten.
Could have been some cannibalism going on. My Uncle Bozy, that's kind of sacrificing. Donald Trump called him a sucker and a loser. Jesus, Palomino, that is just outstanding. Cannibals.
It almost sounds like that's something maybe his dad told him. Like, oh, you know, old Joe, remember when we saw those two gay men kissing in downtown? Well, your uncle, he got eaten by cannibals, too.
Oh, boy. In New Jersey, there's a high school that has a non-sanctioned white student union club. Students say kids in the club use racial terms to harass students. One student said, I saw a lot of different things in school. It was like racial slurs. The club called other students racial slurs. They're working with the Camden County Prosecutor's Office, confirmed they're working with the Collingswood Police Department on an investigation into these racial slurs.
Why is there no evidence of these racial slurs, though?
I don't know.
I don't know. Usually when you come out and say, hey, they said the N-word, and I got it here on recording, or right. They said this or that.
Let's do it right here. They're looking into it. Any student, they say, that violates the district's code of conduct, harassment, intimidation, or bullying policies will be disciplined. One of the mothers said, I think they ought to crack down. I think there needs to be consequences. They got to crack down. So I think they need to, there should be consequences. Crack down. And I guess you can't sanction a white student union that may or may not have used racial slurs. I'm not endorsing that behavior at all. It's time for us to stop using, racial slurs. But at the Auburn, remember this fracas last year, or was it earlier this year?
It was last year.
Some whistleblower came out from the university's black student union there and said, here's what they do when they shut this thing down, when they close the doors. It looks like they're just joking around to have a laugh, but they made a list entitled Creaker Names and 7 pages of single column list of racial slurs.
I mean, they're good slurs.
They though. Are good slurs. Here are some of the favorites. Sour cream citizens, bleach demon, sugar sardine, dandruff demon, elbow crust, dandruff paper, copy and paste, skin stealers, decomposing form of humanity, delusional lice, bobblehead white, ashy but you can't see it, untamed beast, crest 3D whitening strip.
I mean, can they really be slurs when nobody can take you seriously if you yelled at somebody?
No, it's just...
I mean, could you imagine some guy drives by, yo, crest 3D whitening strip?
Yeah. You bleach demon?
What did that guy just say to me?
Sour cream citizen? Well, there is a large, large list. Those are just the favorites.
I think it's like 25 pages long, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, single spaced, all the way down. And that is a real college sanctioned campus group, not a high school bunch of dudes. I mean, do they have meetings? The white student union. If it's not sanctioned, they're not gonna. They can't meet on campus. They're just a group of guys. They call themselves a member of this.
Yeah, they call. They're not a sanctioned group. They just call themselves the White Student Union.
Right. At Columbia University, they've been sued. House Education Workforce Committee Chairwoman Virginia Fox has accused Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq of gross intelligence. At the top of a congressional hearing over the handling of rampant anti-Semitism on that campus. Stefanik Bronx-born Fox, a Republican, later to Stefanik, calling the attention to anti-Semitic demonstrations and even violence that erupted in the wake of the Hamas attack on Israel. I don't understand. She says, Columbia stands guilty of gross negligence at best, and at worst, becoming a platform supporting terrorism and violence against Jewish people. They have a large population of Jewish students at Columbia University, as you can imagine. A taxpayer-funded institution has become the forum for and promotion of terrorism raises serious questions. It's because it's in the mind of the administrators. It's in the minds of the president. It's in the minds of they all feel the same way, exactly the same way. Very, very few, where on the outskirts, bring a different voice to the table. Professors, all of them. She said, well, you know, trying to reconcile free speech rights and of those that wanted to protest and the rights of Jewish students to be in an environment free of discrimination and harassment has been the central challenge of our campus. I mean, if there were people shouting down your trans students,
they're gone.
Out the door. Done. The poor dude that squirted fart spray. that guy has, he's been suspended from school for a year and a half, which means just go away. Don't come back.
Yeah, because you're not coming back to Columbia after a year and a half suspension. So they gave him a year and a half suspension, but
he's got to go somewhere else.
It doesn't look as bad to them. It doesn't say, well, we had to expel that man.
You know? Right.
We just gave him a suspension. It's okay.
I can't find the fart spray story. Oh, there it is. Remember they said that he was using a biological agent?
He was a chemical agent designed to harm them.
He said, no, it's fart spray. I got it on Amazon for $10.99. There's also one called Wet Farts. And I guess you can't get that stuff out of your clothes. One people said it's he smelled like raw sewage, a dead mouse. The men that squirted the fart spray were aggressive towards students holding up signs for ceasefire. He was a former member of the, say the student was a former member of the Israeli military, suspended for a year and a half. Then they say also that it was a Jew that invented the fart spray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
someone in Israel did invent the liquid skunk or skunk, something like that,
yeah,
right?
It's a chemical. It's much harsher than fart spray.
Yeah.
That is used by the IDF to take down large crowds of protesters and things like that. So, yeah, there is something that exists like that. This guy is not getting a handle of that. He bought some fart spray off of Amazon.
They started posting, if you smelled a horrible smell at the protest and you still smell it on your outside clothes, it is because you were stink bombed. This smell is likely permanent. And everyone who attended the protest has the smell of their clothes, but especially those that were closer to the speakers.
The smell is permanent. Come on, get out of here.
The smell is permanent. You'll never get rid of it. To date, there's been no medical or physical evidence to support the assertions of any of the students who claim they were harmed and or impacted by the spray, says his attorney. Indeed, the spray is harmless, non-toxic. It can be purchased by anybody on Amazon. They said 10 people reported symptoms of burning eyes, having headaches, nausea, 3 having sought medical attention. 8 reported damage to their personal belongings.
Yeah, because their clothes stink.
I think eventually it comes out, right? Bubba used to use this stuff all the time. I forget what he used it for.
Annoyed an
intern with it. Yeah.
Mark Rober, the guy that does the Porch Pirate packaging thing every year on YouTube, where his launch fart spray out of too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, into people's cars.
Yeah.
That never come out of there. Never. I read this great article. It's an Iranian-American attorney and an activist, Alika Laban. And she's talking about how Americans are brainwashed right now, the way she sees it, backing Hamas and Ayatollahs. She said, look, myself and everyone else after October 7th, we're kind of unsettled. We're very anxious, aware of how radicalized Westerners are inching dangerously close to supporting the Islamic Republic. It started with someone saying, we just support Hamas. Stop making something that it's not. Let's see, the vocal support for Hezbollah, when they saw them firing rockets in northern Israel, that's like strike 3. They celebrated the Houthis attacks. Get your friend like Yemen, turn the ship around, failing to address the Houthis. That was strike 2, and then finally strike 3 is the, all of Iran, they get Hezbollah firing rockets. So they've rooted for every single part of terror funded by Iran. Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and then when in the attack, Iran upon Israel, that was 99% foiled, they celebrated in the streets for that too.
Yeah, it's almost like they love the terrorist all-stars.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I don't get it. They're literally celebrating a regime that systematically murders and beats women for showing their hair, much less engaging in celebratory TikTok dances online. This generation of people is lost, completely lost. She's like, I wonder what it could be that has so seamlessly targeted and programmed radical left in such a way that it now supports fascist authoritarian regimes. And she blames it on Western academic institutions. She said it's a hotbed for Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps propaganda. It's their culture. I mean, I don't know. She said, how else can you really believe that the women want to be oppressed? That's the most baffling thing, that women are out there celebrating the trifecta of terror.
I just think a lot of times it is that liberal white woman mindset. They pick the opposite of whatever it is that you know, their maybe their dad is for, and they and not understanding that they're not on your side. They're laughing at you actually over there.
Oh, absolutely.
The people in Iran are laughing watching the white woman dance up and down and cheering them on.
Right. They think it's funny. I'm sure they do. And I don't know that these, of course they do. Maybe they're not aware of the way women are treated in the Islamic Republic. They're not aware of, you know, women can be flogged and beaten. I've seen a ton of it on X for showing their hair. Their hair. But there you are, waving a Hamas flag. I mean, they'll accept your support from afar, but if you went there to try to help them, they would kill you and rape you. Rape you first and then kill you. Squatters are at it again. This thing is going to be, I mean, it's here it's Holmes. But in London, there are different rules there. While Gordon Ramsay has served papers to the people living inside his, that have taken over his London pub, I don't know what good it'll do. Squatters have taken over another restaurant owned by Marco Pierre White. They say there are hundreds of squatters in there. Just days after Ramsay's pub. You know that every other guy with an open restaurant, is it vacant or whatever, is spending the night there.
Yeah. Hiring some security now to put outside their building.
They put giant padlocks on the door. And they put up a sign saying they could not be moved without a court order since the shuttered restaurant was vacant and not being used for residential purposes. And it's on the on a beautiful square. They say it's one of the best buildings there. They've got it completely barricaded. They put a sign at the door with their legal rights. They know what they're doing. The manager of a restaurant next door said the people were lined up in the back trying to get in get in the building. They've chosen a very nice building. It said they closed it for temporary maintenance. Heaps of garbage are starting to pile up by the back door. They've investigated 400 people living inside this restaurant.
Get ready for that here in the U.S.
Well, there's plenty of vacant stuff here.
And people are going to start getting bolder and bolder to this point where they're going to be just locking themselves into buildings and declaring them theirs.
There were...
honestly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet more.
In businesses, yeah, me too. With all those Amazon style warehouses all along I-75, they're sitting there vacant.
I mean, more of these office buildings that are vacant in downtown that don't have anybody in there.
Ooh, what about the eyesore on I-4? They can have that.
I'm going to get that one of these days.
You're going to own it?
Mm-hmm.
They say they occupy the restaurant as a form of protest for the victims of gentrification and the country's high speed railway. H2S. So wait, now it's a formal protest?
Well, that's what they try to say. They say we're protesting because this building could be used to have humans live in, and you're leaving it just for your rotten capitalism.
Another pub owner said he saw the same thing as the squatters take over his own place for 8 weeks last year. He now says that squatting in pubs is on the rise. And the city's blaming Sadiq Khan, his soft-on-crime approach. Oh, yeah. It won't happen around here in Florida, I don't think.
No.
But I can see it happening in New York City. I can see it certainly happening in San Francisco. They've chosen, traditionally, they say they choose empty warehouses. But clearly, they've realized now that pubs and hotels are a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, because all the furniture's still in a lot of them.
Mm. That seems to me like this is a major crime. I mean, you're talking about a multi-million dollar building that's literally been stolen. This ancient squatter, somebody needs to address it really quickly. I know that what did DeSantis do about it?
He
signed some EA.
Signed it quick, yeah.
And Grady Judd's like, we don't care if you call yourself a squatter. You don't own the place. You don't live there. We're going to go in, and we're going to arrest you, take you to the jail regardless of what you think your rights are, and keep you in the jail. What do you say? And often when they get out, we never see them again. They get out of town real quick. I don't know what's serving papers to the squatters in Gordon Ramsay's joint is going to do.
Because there are legal, he has to go through this whole rigmarole of legal paperwork to finally get them to go get them. If it was a house, he could have them immediately removed. But because it's this weird like business that he owns and nobody's in, they have to go through the entire court system to finally get them to send people to go take them out of there.
And what happens then when they leave and all the damage there? Aren't they responsible for all the damage? They should all be arrested for damaging a privately owned business.
Nope. They just let them walk off. Mainly because what ends up happening is these guys know they're on a countdown now. They're professionals at this. So they know from when the time that they get served, they've got probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so they'll wait it out for another week or two, and then by the time this gets through the court, they'll go and tear that place open. Everybody will already be gone. I'll move on to the next place.
Mm. The restaurant, they call themselves the Camden Art Collective. Maybe they're moving out. They said, we've left the building after being served papers. We wish those left in the building the best of luck in their endeavors. We hope to be a part of the community again soon.
So that's one group that decided that we got to get out of there now.
The other groups are like, well, I love it. We're staying here. We're at home, Ramsay Lewis. I'm grabbing Ramsay Lewis. Gordon Ramsay's pub.
They know. Again, they know how long they have. So this one group saw, you know, legal papers and they went, okay, we're out of here on this one because we're new to the whole squatting thing. But the professional squatters know they have a couple days to a couple weeks. And like I said before, they probably have someone down at the courthouse that lets them know, hey, by the way, it's cleared through this part and you guys got to get out of there.
And nothing happens to the...
because they just move on to the next place.
Jesus. Yeah, I see that becoming, you know... whether it's a fad, you know, like blocking highways and bridges is a fad, I see this going the same way.
Well, it just needs to be legislation tightened down on everything to stop this type of thing.
Mm. I'm sure you've seen the viral video, the big dude in North Carolina high school student slapping the crap out of a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Number of times. I mean, this thing is disturbing. They have filed charges against the guy. It's a female teacher, and she's just sitting there. Here's what it sounded like.
Oh! Oh.
Do you think that affected me any?
Let me hit you again.
I don't want it.
Oh, he slaps it really hard. God bless him.
And do I look like I care?
What's wrong with you? What you gonna do? Still sitting that chair?
You use a bitch. And I don't know that filing charges, you gotta kick him out of school. You have to. And he's a minor. Well, I don't know. Could they treat him as an adult if he's 17?
Yes.
That's an awful assault. I mean.
Yeah, and lucky enough, his classmates were nice enough to get it on film, so.
Good. The school district has condemned the student's behavior. This behavior will not be tolerated. At no time is it acceptable for students to put their hands on a teacher in Winston-Salem, Forsyth County schools. He's been charged one count of communicating threats and two counts of misdemeanor assault. That's it. I hope he's kicked out of school.
Oh, they'll say no. You can't kick him out of school because then...
he'll be denied an education. Yeah. He's black, and that makes you a racist. There's so many of these you see. Are these kids charged in every one of them?
No.
If I'm the teacher, I'm bringing the charges. If it's on tape, I'm bringing the charges. The school district won't do it. And then sue them. Go see a doctor. Get get one of those whiplash doctors to say you got a neck problem and sue his family. For whatever they have.
Sue the school as well for putting that teacher in danger.
Or give the teachers the right to punch back. Yeah. I mean, this woman's not going to fight the guy back, but this guy needs to have the brakes beaten off of him. An elder and a teacher and a woman and an authority figure. No respect at all.
See what they should let teachers carry tasers.
Or pepper spray.
Just taser that kid.
Oh, that'd be awesome. you ever been tasered?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I don't plan on it.
Yeah, I try not to.
No, watch the guy pull two cops tasered him in the chest. And, he just ripped him out. This big.
How much PCP was he on?
Yeah, something. He was on something. All right, when we return, Googlers against genocide. The protesters are protesting Google and the contracts that they have with Israel. And a lot of them are just getting fired. And Saudi Shoemaker, a dirty rat. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. President Biden is absolutely shocked that people don't like him. And maybe he was a little sad when he saw a little 8-year-old kid flipping the bird while he was driving in his motorcade. And he says something interesting here. I want you to pay attention.
I've never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate and see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time. It's not who we are.
Does he remember the 2016 run up to that election in the next 4 years? F Trump.
Mm-hmm.
People uncontrollably at a stoplight get out of their vehicle to attack a Trump sign on the side of the road. I mean, and you're just shocked. That's not who we are. That little Timmy's giving you the bird because his dad is a conservative.
And I love kids.
Yeah. Sadly, we had to have that kid killed.
What do you think he says? You know he's inside that his limo, and he sees a little kid flipping a bird. He's like, F that little kid.
Or he's like, what is that kid doing? Oh, Mr. Biden, I think you're number one.
I mean, he says that's not who we are, but I you know, that's the new, they set the precedent for hatred of a political candidate. They really did.
Yeah, because there was a little bit when Obama ran the first time because there was some racist idiots.
There was.
But before that, really, it was kind of always nobody cared.
Yeah,
it was always you had your guy, they had your guy, nobody really.
No one, there was no hatred on, even though it was a crappy president, what's his name? Carter. Nobody really, you know, it was not a hate on, people hated Nixon because they thought he was a dirtbag. But what, not like this?
Yeah. To this vitriol of hate.
It's pretty intense. And getting the bird and seeing F your name there is, you know, consider yourself lucky. That's all you got was a little kid flipping you the bird. That's so funny, though. A little kid just, F you. Sadly, Sal the Shoemaker has turned a rat. Salvatore Rubino, better known as Sal the Shoemaker in Long Island. He has admitted to running an illegal gambling ring, raising money for the mafia out of his shoe store. On the streets, they just thought he was a humble cobbler. Sal the Shoemaker. But he's pled guilty to a ton of charges related to the gambling operation, using the money to bolster the coffers of the Genovese crime family. He said, there were gambling machines installed in the back of Sal's shoe repair. He also operated poker games there 3 nights a week. Rubino and Joe Rutigliano, known as Joe Bucks.
Joe Bucks or Box?
Box, like a box. Maybe he would come and collect the profits. Maybe that's why I called it. He came with a box.
Filled the box up, Shoemaker.
And they distributed the funds to the Genovese family. The has been operational there since 2012 through 2021 when Sal's had to shut down because of the COVID. Meanwhile, they operated out of seemingly innocuous business fronts across Long Island, including a gelato shop in Lynbrook and Central Calico Italiano Club in West Babylon.
Ooh.
These machines make about, each machine will bring about $2,000 a day.
They don't, didn't call out the gelato shop guy? There wasn't no Johnny Gelato?
Gianni Gelato.
That's Carmine Cookies and Dough, and Cookies and Cream.
Joe Box. Man, think about that. So I would think that if Joe the Shoemaker allowed these machines, six or whatever, in the back, that wouldn't he get a cut of the action? Or he had to give it all up to the family?
I'm sure he got some sort of cut and, you know, old protection and...
Some others involved in the operation pled guilty, including Rutigliano and Carmelo Carmine Polito, the captain of the Genovese crime family.
Oh.
I wonder how much time these guys get.
What's the time for running a illegal poker games and gambling?
Uh-oh. Joe Fish. Joe Fish also pled guilty to racketeering. Joe Fish.
Damn oh, it.
They got the fish.
They got the fish?
Yeah. Joe Macario, a.k.a. Joe Fish, who once told a man,
I'll break your face, and then I'm tell him I'm going to put him under the effing bridge.
That's a great gangster there.
Oh, Joe Fish runs the front of the Long John Silvers, too.
Yeah. He runs the machines out of the back of the fish shop. Five more members of the and associates have admitted they committed crimes to benefit the criminal enterprise. And that's RICO Act. This is, as long as the mafia doesn't get it that illegal gambling is a losing proposition, they can bet on this office and our partners vigorously enforcing the law and flushing them out of the shadows. Rubino's expected to be sentenced to jail between 4 to 10 months. 4 to 10 months?
Yo, I do that standing on my head. I hold my breath.
Yeah, because... I doubt he even gets the, he maybe gets 4 at minimum.
Yeah.
If he not even less than that.
And then he gets to cook steaks in a pan and make sauce, gravy.
Yeah.
Sell drugs and bring in lobster tail and Keanu.
You know, the money in his commissary is just overflowing.
You better not take a plea deal. It's cartons for you. I think it's really pompous, certain, maybe narcissistic, for some 20-something programmer at Google to stand up during an all-employee meeting with the CEO and scream out, "No tech for apartheid." There's a project worth $1.2 billion between Google and Israel, called Project Nimbus. It's an AI thing for their IDF, I believe. They say, how can you stand by and continue to do business as usual with the news that's coming out of Gaza? They spoke out at a crowd of protesters in the streets of Manhattan yesterday. One current Google employee at the rally who asked to remain nameless because the last Google guy that stood up and yelled at the CEO got his ass canned. He said building security has asked him and other protesters to leave the office during their sit-in. He said other Googlers refused to leave and would be staying until they are removed. If I'm the CEO, Thomas Kurian, I'm just going to go down there and go just get all of their badges. They can sit there as long as they want, and we're going to run them up to HR and tell them they can come get their stuff when they're done sitting in. They don't work anymore. One guy says, I think my firing was to intimidate my coworkers from doing something like this today. That's the guy that got fired, Eddie Hatfield, a 23-year-old software engineer who interrupted the CEO's presentation by standing up and screaming, "No tech for apartheid." You think Google is going to bend to a 23-year-old programmer or any a group of 23-year-old programmers and cancel a $1.2 billion project?
I also laugh the fact of the narcissism where they're like, no, you guys canceled it so I can keep my job. If you don't want to work for a company that is
go.
Then put in your resignation. Tell them. You can even tell them. You can be super happy yelling as you get walked out that I'm the reason I'm quitting and I'm not getting my paycheck anymore is because these guys support Israel.
Right.
Okay, cool. You have done some protesting. But the arrogance that you as a 23-year-old tech developer on the lowest rung of Google or is upset that they fired you because you decided to make a disruption during a presentation.
Right. And hey, let's tell you, no tech for apartheid. There's no apartheid. There's no genocide. There's apartheid in Lebanon. There's no Jews there. There's apartheid in Egypt. There's no Jews there. There's apartheid in Jordan. There's no Jews there. You can bet your ass there's apartheid. But in Israel, the 2.2 million Arabs live and worship peacefully within Israel. There's no Jews in Gaza. There's no Jews in the West Bank. These guys are idiots. I need something to lighten the mood a little bit. How about a little Heather Has Answers?
Hello.
Heather?
Yep.
Heather Has Answers at gmail.com. What do we have today?
Oh, my goodness. Oh. All right. My fiance has a bizarre kink.
All right.
Yes.
Let's see.
We'll phrase that differently.
Let's say he finishes on tampons.
Okay.
That's his fetish?
That is his kink.
Like a fresh out of the box tampon? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So for some background, I graduated from college, but my fiance Keith is a college dropout. While he has some sort of income, I'm usually the one who brings in the money. However, I'm now 37 weeks pregnant and about to pop. I went on maternity leave a month ago because I work as a waitress and being on my feet all day was causing problems. I moved in with Daniel about 3 months after I graduated, and soon after I found out I was pregnant with his kid. About a week ago, I walked in on him masturbating over a tampon. Keep in mind, I'm pregnant and have not had my period for quite some time now. I was shocked to say the least, but the whole situation admittedly is funny as hell. I let out a laugh while standing in the doorway of our bedroom. He turned to me with the most embarrassed expression I've ever seen on him. I held back another laugh and asked him what on earth he was doing, to which he replied, "I want to get baby number two cooking, and I figured if I did this in secret, next time you have Shark Week, you'd use one and get pregnant again." And I was shocked.
What?
I didn't know men were this stupid when it came to how menstrual cycles worked.
Or how long semen stays alive, quite frankly.
Public school education.
Wow.
You know? I honestly doubt if I want this man to be the father of my kid. I stood there in awe and genuinely went silent for about 5 minutes and then explained to him that that's not how it worked. And made him more embarrassed. And we haven't talked about it since.
So it's not a fetish like he goes into the bathroom and she's finding a ton of her tampons soiled with his man sap. It's she caught him one time. Right. I mean, I'm trying to put it in a non, you know, I'm trying to be clean about it.
You know? Okay, yes, I think she only caught him once, but she's calling it a kink. I don't know. Oh my gosh, I'm sweating. I'm laughing so hard. Looking back at it now, it's still pretty funny to me in an uncomfortable way, but I genuinely don't know if this is something I can forget about or move past. Am I the asshole? Is this something worth breaking up over because I can't be with someone who doesn't have himself together? I'm also considering putting the child up for adoption once it's born. Will I need him to sign off on that?
Yes, you will.
Leanne in Fort Walton.
Wow, Leanne. Sweetheart. I feel bad for her because he sounds like a, you know, kind of a deadbeat. Doesn't really work. Doesn't have much money. He's whooping off on your tampons. He doesn't really understand how pregnancy works in the first place. And now she's taking maternity leave. God knows if he thinks that he can ejaculate on a tampon and get you pregnant months down the line or you know, whatever, then odds are he doesn't know how to handle a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't leave a baby with this guy.
God, no. God, no.
This is the type of guy that you come home and he's trying to feed the 1-month-old Funyuns because he doesn't know how. He's like, I thought he was hungry.
Wait, what's wrong with that?
He loved the Pepsi I gave him. I figured he'd love a Funyun.
I can't even believe he knew how to reproduce.
I bet he doesn't. He didn't even know what was going on.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Junior's got a contact high, so I gave him some Mountain Dew and some Funyuns.
Yeah, you're going to come home and he's going to be blowing bong hits in the kid's face while he's crying.
Oh, run, honey. Yeah. Run. So what does she do about if she doesn't want to keep the child?
There are plenty of organizations. That's a very admirable thing to do, you know.
If he ends up keeping the child, then she's basically abandoned the child. He's got to sign off on this, too. Right?
Yeah, but he sounds so dumb, you could probably trick him into it. They're like, hey, could you mind signing this? It's an extension on our lease, honey, just right there. I want to live with you forever. And then it might be weeks before he even noticed the baby's not around the house anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Leanne, God bless you.
Right, okay. Well, this next one's not as bad, but it's still not good. My husband embarrassed me in front of our friends. My husband and I are both in our mid-30s. I'm 5'3 and a bit thick, but honestly, we've had so much going on that it's really just a sign of success and lack of time to exercise. Well, we were hanging out with our friends over the weekend, and there's this girl. Let's call her Fiona. Fiona was hanging out, and she's a fitness girly. She was talking about her workout routine, and my husband started talking with her since he lifts, and they were talking about how much they lift. She also mentions that she's getting certified to be a personal trainer, and then my husband says, "My wife will be your first success story." He also said, yeah, she needs to lose weight, but she's been unmotivated, and maybe if she has you as a trainer, then she'll want to have a killer body, too. I swear he said this in front of everyone.
Wow. What a dick.
He had some drinks, too, and some of our friends around us were laughing, including myself, to avoid this awkward and embarrassing moment. Fiona starts going on about how she used to be fat, and she turned her life around after losing weight and how she majored in nutrition. My husband starts talking about my unhealthy eating habits and how I eat all the snacks in the house and how I finished all the birthday cake from my birthday in 2 days, and my husband only had one slice of cake. She was like, ooh, I used to be like that. I get it. I used to be 160 pounds. And my husband was like, that's about how much my wife weighs. Baby, you weigh like 165, 170 now. I was fuming at this point. My friend got me out of there and told me that our other friend needed help with something inside the house, and I started crying in my friend's room. My husband didn't even know he did anything wrong. He thought he was just having a conversation and trying to help because I've been talking about starting my weight loss journey. I don't need her help, and I don't want her help. He goes, wow, someone's jealous. He tried saying it in a cutesy way as if this is funny. Like, read the effing room. He thinks I'm overreacting. Am I the asshole, or is my husband on Fitness Fiona? Babs in the panhandle.
Babs, your husband needs to be slapped in public.
In front of people.
Here's what I would do. If he doesn't really understand how awful this is, that behavior, for him to speak that way in front of you and other people and say all of those things that, and he doesn't really get how it could be hurtful or how you're overreacting, the next time you guys are around some friends, remember some very embarrassing things about him. Like, I talk to another guy. Hey, Steve, look, I hope you don't crap your underwear like my husband does. I've spent hours scrubbing the skid marks out of his pants.
Too bad he wasn't the tampon
guy. I'm about to say, well, you'll never believe I once got him masturbating on a tampon. Right, right, honey? Remember that when I busted in the bathroom, you were masturbating on a tampon, and you thought you could get me pregnant? What a dumbass. Let him, there's got to be some things about him that he would not like to be talked about in front of other people. And this is a perfect opportunity to give him an example, a taste of his own medicine.
Is that healthy for their marriage?
It's going to feel amazing to her. She is going to...
He's going to learn something out of it that you can't talk about certain things.
Right. I mean, though they shouldn't. Let's have some... show some manners, you know? Right. Show some respect for your wife.
Yeah.
This is what all this is about, is respecting your wife.
Absolutely.
And first of all, he's hitting on a hot fitness trainer, which, you know, Fiona... I mean, in front of God and everybody and you. Yeah, what a douche. Sorry, buddy. Babs, he needs to be, I'm not saying revenge, I'm saying, and unless you could get him to, okay, maybe I am. Unless you could get him to understand how it makes you feel, sit down and go, look, do you realize how it feels for you to shout my weight out and say that I need to have a killer body too, and you know, and I eat horrible and all these, that you don't understand how that's hurtful.
Well, no, I don't. It's just the truth, man.
Then give him a lesson.
Right. And she says in the beginning that she really just felt like, you know, being the size she was or whatever was a sign of success. You know, I mean, she's busy. She's keeping her life in order. She's got lots of stuff going on, and maybe she's eating good food now and gaining a little weight. Okay, big deal. But yeah. Yeah. So he's
what I mean, that guy is a.
Oh.
I don't even know what to say.
Don't be that guy.
You have any words of wisdom?
No, I mean, you're right on the money there. There's nothing you can argue on that.
I mean,
you just have to know the room. I think he was flirting and didn't notice he was doing that. And by doing, he tried to kind of, you know, take down his wife by and also flirt with this girl at the same time. And he's an idiot.
I mean, well, you should have that conversation. What were you trying to accomplish in this conversation? You know, first of all, it's disrespectful to be hitting on another woman right in front of me and our friends and everyone else there.
It probably made Fiona uncomfortable, too.
Right.
I mean, he's talking about his wife that's right there. And
she ought to start feeding him fatty foods, lots of carbs and stuff, and get into, you know, to get exploded fat and then make fun of him. I don't know. People that, read the room is the right thing. And you don't have to read the room. Read your relationship with your wife, you.
Yes.
I bet he's all roided out. You know, he's a lifter. Is he, he's a weightlifter?
He lifts.
So. What does that mean? You lift, bro? You even lift, bro?
I, too, put heavy things up and down.
I lift up all the time. That's my advice for, was this Babs?
Babs, yes.
Babs. God bless you, Babs. You're. Both of these women today have had some real crappy partners.
Yes.
You know? I don't know what that says. Both of them came from the panhandle, too, didn't they?
Fort Walton was Leanne. And
man up, Fort Walton men.
Stop cranking it over tampons.
So weird.
I'd be mortified to be caught doing something so dumb in front of my wife.
It doesn't even make sense.
I mean,
you know she's going to tell that story to at least like her closest girlfriends, and they're going to look at it and go, hee.
Yeah, if only these two stories had been from the same person, it would have been a really quick fix.
Oh, my God. Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com. We do it at this time every day. It's wonderful. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
I'm not doing anything this breakaway.
Correct.
Okay. When we return, we'll get to your remarks from the Florida Man Radio app. Also, in Germany, they realize that their climate plan, the Protection Act, is not realistic. It's just impossible to do. And they said, well, we got to do it. We got to save the world. We're going to spontaneously combust if we don't pass this. And so the German transportation minister, sick of hearing these people demand things that are impossible, came up with a solution. It's the only way, he says, they can meet these lofty climate goals. I don't know. I hope they don't go for it, but it illustrates how stupid this argument is. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Once this friend of mine got monkeypox, he wouldn't say just how, but it was on his face and on his crotch. All I could say was, ow. Monkeypox is after me, according to the CDC. Dang old monkeypox. Monkeypox, leave me be. Monkeypox, Tennessee. Be-do-be-do, everybody.
Monkeypox XL is running rampant. Where is it? The Congo?
Yes, the Democratic Republic of Congo.
The Democratic Republic of Congo. So, you know, don't bang anyone from there. And don't go banging people there. This is more infectious.
Yes, they say it's not as deadly. You know, I really never remember hearing anybody died from
Me neither. Just got those embarrassing warts on your face that everybody knew what you were doing.
Yep, definitely more infectious this time, though. It could be a pandemic at any moment now. Everybody could have monkeypox.
Can you imagine? Then you would wear a mask all day. Hey, a reminder, next Friday, we'll be at downtown Leesburg for Leesburg Bike Fest 2024. It's going to be a good time. We're in front of the Blue Island Sportswear store on Main Street. Low Cash is on Friday. Sugar Ray on Saturday. Who's on?
Frankie Ballard.
Frankie Ballard on Sunday. It's going to be a good time. I love this event. It's always fun. I love Leesburg Bike Fest. It's just a good, it's a good damn time. So come out and say hello. Low Cash, Friday night, Sugar Ray, and Betty Ballard.
Frankie.
Frankie Ballard. Let me write that down so I know. There was a cancellation. All right. Oh, and tomorrow, a special guest for our male audience from the men's clinic. A guy's name is Andy. He's a doctor for the men's clinic to talk about, penises.
Yeah. It's going to be a great full topic. Segment of erection talk.
Yeah. and some Q&A, people have questions, I'm sure that he can talk about all things genitalia, male genitalia related. So I'm excited about that. Be a good time. German minister, they've got some rather lofty and unattainable climate goals in Germany. and they need to make some tweaks to the Climate Protection Act, he says. The amendment is still not in force, leads to considerable legal factual uncertainties. The Volker Wissing says, he said, a reduction. This serves as neither the climate nor the reputation of the federal government. They can't get this thing off the, he's not the only one that agrees that it can't be reached, right? I mean, people know that there's no way they could hit their climate goals.
Yeah, their government has been infiltrated by a lot of people that are super, super, super to the left on there, and they're just kind of blocking everything.
A reduction in traffic to help meet climate goals would only be possible through measures that are difficult to communicate to the public, such as comprehensive and indefinite driving bans on Saturday and Sunday. Like, you can't go anywhere on Saturday or Sunday. The federal coalition government made up of center-left social Democrats, the Greens, and the liberal Free Democrats. They've been at odds for months over issues, including payment cards for refugees and Germany's debt brake, and lately something to do with elephants. So if the planned reforms aren't passed through Parliament by July 15th, Wissing, the transportation minister, the Minister for Digital and Transportation, would be obliged to submit, quote, an immediate action program that ensures compliance with the annual emission levels of the transportation sector until 2030, which would include a driving ban on weekends.
I mean, it's scary sounding, but there's some, I think, in that group that were like, okay, yeah, cool, that works with us. We'll go with the driving ban on the weekend.
Ride our bicycles. I mean, is that even realistic? I mean, obviously, emergency vehicles would have to get off the road. But that's when I do my you're running your errands.
It would be an absolute shutdown of their entire commerce, other than, I mean, Germany has the cities that you can walk and bike. And
easy to commute around. Yeah, here, it takes me 30 minutes in a car to get to my butcher.
Yeah, I definitely could not. It's 35 minutes for me to get here with no traffic.
I mean, it's a good thought. You just sit around the house, maybe talk more with your neighbors, but totally unrealistic.
Yeah, but he's throwing that out there, hoping that'll finally get them to do something. But I think
some of the people might go, yeah, hey, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
let's
I think
do
that's
it.
More of them are going to be like, oh, yeah, you're killing it now.
You got our vote. Let's get to remarks. From the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. Archive Central for commercial-free podcasts of this show and the Don Miller program. Bubba's got his own thing going. You can call the show, text the show, and leave us your remarks by hitting the little microphone button. Here we go.
Hey, guys. Yeah, talking about all this fraud, wonder what the number would look like if they rolled all the money we've sent to Ukraine into that number, where it should be counted as, wonder if there's an right. icon of old Zelensky that pops up on that. Unreal. Beedo, beedo.
Yeah, that's a lot of... It's a lot of fraud, but what are we giving Ukraine? $130-160 billion, and they want 60 more?
You know, the media is doing the bare minimum coverage of the anti-Israel protests in the U.S., but just imagine the coverage if they were wearing swastikas and white hoods. And yesterday you were talking about Tinfoil Tom. I think you banned him back when you had Jeff. I think you just got fed up with him one day and told Jeff to, you're done with him, blocking.
We can block on this system.
Yeah, no, he could. If he wanted to, he could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I could skip over him. But, you know.
Hey, Shannon. I'd like to know more about that erection clinic.
You're in luck.
Can I grow, like, 2 more inches? Is that cool?
We'll find out tomorrow. We've got a guest from the men's clinic.
Nothing you could do could make me untrue to my Tron. My Tron.
My Tron?
I think he meant Trump. I think he said my
Nothing
Trump.
Nothing you could do, screw the LGBTQ from my Tron. My Tron.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Too bad the cannibals didn't eat Joe Biden. Then we wouldn't be in this predicament our country's in. Beedoo, beedoo.
Cannibals, of all things.
No for cannibals.
Mr. Shannon. This is Fried Rice Fraternity with Egg Foo Young, Wonton, and also Mumu Gaga.
Okay, that's really not a topic.
I absolutely love that this guy sprayed these protesters with fart spray. I think it's great that now you can smell them coming. They're identified like a scarlet letter. The stinky ones are the ones that are on the wrong side of history. Beedoo, beedoo.
That stuff is brutal.
That stinks.
I mean, for a long time, and it's bad.
Howdy, guys. This is Nate in Bakersfield, California. You're talking about all these people that are supporting Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, terror attacks against Israel because they, I don't know, maybe they hate Israel. I have no idea. But I think all those people should go on ahead and read the last book of the Bible, which is called Revelation. It lines it out pretty clearly that God is going to come and wipe out everybody that's going against Israel eventually. So, yeah, you might want to pick a different side.
Mm-hmm. It's just really trendy right now.
Hey, guys. Well, I wish I could use the S word right now, but I know I can't. You know, if the fart spray is permanent, at least these idiots will smell as crappy as they act. Beedoo, beedoo.
Do you have anything in Hamath Green?
I haven't seen one headline that says black student slaps white teacher. I think they only reserve that phrase for the white cops and black victims.
It's a shocking video. Follow me at The Burke Show, and I will retweet it.
Seemed like all my black friends didn't have any problems with the bleach demons. Especially the ones with blonde hair and big boobs. Just a random thought from Uncle Elbow Crust.
Elbow Crust. What was the other one? Ashy, but you can't see it?
Yeah, ashy, but you can't see it.
I was in, I don't know, Publix, I think. I'm doing a checkout, and this the lady was a black lady, and I forgot to, you know, put lotion up my arms because I'm so tattooed. You could see, and she goes, "Ooh, I've never seen a white man ashy before." Oh, yeah, you're right. I haven't put on any moisturizer.
You should. Thank you.
I'm sure you've got some cocoa butter on you right now.
Show of hands of everyone that was jealous of that little kid that got the opportunity to give Biden the bird. Me, Spencer from Georgia. Beedoo, beedoo.
That kid is legend.
His town, there's probably like a picture of him in that town.
A little Timmy. Yeah. Today is Little Timmy Day, where we celebrate the day 7-year-old Little Timmy flipped the bird, Joe Biden.
Today's parade grand marshal, Little Timmy, he flipped off the president.
Well, to the guy who was masturbating into the tampon, at least we now know how Liberal Larry was conceived.
Hi, Shandall. Long time no speak, man. Yeah, that dude that called out his chubby wife in front of that smoking hot chick, yeah, do you blame him? Good God, who wants to be in her mid-30s already seeing down the road? She's going to be a big one in about 10.
All right. Jesus.
Yanking into a tampon, that's pretty weird behavior.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still have my Heather Thomas poster from the 80s. I still yank it, too, on occasion.
The key is to keep it on the inside of your closet door. Then you just open it up and, you know. I remember the day my little brother came and got me. He said, come here, I want to show you something. And he found my mom's tampons. And he unwrapped one. We didn't know what. I was like, what the hell is that? He was the watch. We watched with the toilet. Dropped it. Poof. We pooped out. I'm like, no way. Give me one of those. I want to do that. I think we went through a box and a half of my mom's pants.
What's up, fellas? Yeah, what kind of a tard doesn't understand that you don't talk about your wife's weight to another chick? I mean, there's no. Shouldn't he be taught a lesson about that? And then the other dude. What if, because you said she got pregnant right when he moved in there, what if that's how he thinks he got her pregnant the first time? Like, he's like, man, it worked once. Like, where do you learn something like that, or why do you think it works? Obviously, he thinks it worked the first time, right?
I don't know. I don't know what another one was.
I've never loved the Shannon Burke show more than today when you were talking about Babs and the fitness trainer, Fiona. Way to represent, guys. Awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't know if it's just me, but Heather has answers seems to be rapidly deteriorating into penthouse forms. Not sure you can believe everything you get. Beedoo, beedoo.
What's going on, my bleach demons? My little boy didn't think old Joe Biden saw him giving him the bird. I told him he did. That's my boy. I've never been so proud.
I wish he was more specific. You know, what town he was in. Apparently it happens all the time. Little kids up there flipping into the bird.
I saw one of the most beautiful sandy-haired little boys up there, and he just reached up.
I want to give him a good sniff, and then he gave me the bird.
Babs, I never recommend someone leaving their significant other based off of just hearing one scenario. But you should leave him.
There you go.
Star Trek guy here. There's one thing I've learned. Never believe a hurt woman's story. Babs, her own self, said she was 5'3", put on a few pounds because she's successful. That's not an excuse, I've ever heard it. She didn't deny she ate her whole birthday cake in 2 days. She didn't deny she eats all the snacks. And if I had to put money on it, I bet they had an agreement to work out together, and she never lived up to it. So I'd love to hear the husband side of that story.
There's nothing appropriate about talking about your wife's weight.
Yeah, even if they did have an agreement like that, it's not. There's a time and a place for it than to bring it up in like in front of the
right, the smoking hot trainer and all your other friends.
Is it first the chick that's pregnant with the loser dude that may not want to keep it? He's getting contact with the guy from yesterday, and the wife that we're thinking about adopting. And the chick that wrote in that's 160 and 5'3", that may not be a bad thing depending on how she's built. And she should have said, well, if you were handling business in the bedroom, maybe I wouldn't be this big.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that would have been, yeah. You got a small waiter. I just said that right there. Where am I? Oh, right here, I believe.
Star Trek guy. I could be wrong, but Germany is the country that everything shuts down on Sunday anyways. So if everything is shut down, why do you need to drive anywhere? Just a thought. Be-do-be-do.
Yeah, we did talk about that earlier this week about Germany shutting down on Sundays, but still no Saturday.
Work. Yeah, well, the restaurants are open and also and pubs.
Maybe you want to drive out to the countryside to do a little hiking in the beautiful German countryside. You can't.
It's the newest thing. Monkeypox, baby. If you're hankering for a shankering, come on downtown and involve yourself in some risky sexual behavior. You'll get them too. Ooh, they hurt too. Look at them sores. Ooh, they nasty. You nasty.
It was My Trump, a parody of My Guy from Mary Wells.
We get the
nothing
parody.
That they can say or do or anything is going to sway my decision. I will vote for Trump even if he's in a jail cell. Let him run the country from a jail cell. He's only in there for BS reasons anyway.
There you go.
That guy who was singing about My Trump earlier, he was making fun of Whoopi Goldberg, actually, because the song he was singing to was, it's a parody to the song that she was singing in Sister's Act movie. So I think that's what he was doing, making fun of her with that song.
The Sister's Act, you all remember that, don't you?
You don't remember seeing Whoopi in Sister Act? Or Sister Act 2?
Sister Act 2 had a subtitle. In the Habit or something?
In the Habit, yes. Back in the Habit?
Hey, yeah, Back in the Habit. Well, Electric Boogaloo has already been taken,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's catchy. I mean, we both remembered it.
Back in the Habit. Yeah, you're right.
All I was going to say, Shando, is she's going to be in bed one night, eating ice cream, scrolling through the Facebook friends, you know? I know a guy. Jeez. And then you let people say the R word, shortened with a T.
Huh? Hmm. Oh, yeah, my first wife gained 80 pounds between the proposal and I think the day she came to bed with a pint of Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream and ate the entire pint. And then I could hear the spoon rattle. And I just looked over and I said, really?
I mean, that's impressive in the first place to eat a coffee ice cream before bed.
I could eat a whole pint of that stuff. It's just... yeah. I had to apologize a lot. Okay. I'm not going to play that game.
The biggest problem this girl has, other than her wacky boyfriend, is her own choices. Number one, she's fooled around and got pregnant by this guy. Number two, she calls the Shannon Burke Show for advice. I think she's a nut.
Why are you whispering? You're not supposed to be using your phone at this time of hour or something? Is it, you know?
Hold on, boss. I got to go to the bathroom, dude.
Star Trek guy here.
That does sound like
I hate my wife because she's fat and she takes my money to eat snacks.
Wow. Those are the remarks for this hour. We do it again in the final hour of the program from the Florida Man app and powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. Did you see Dubai and the unbelievable amount of rain?
Oh, yeah, absolutely insane for a country that doesn't get that type of rain. So it definitely doesn't absorb very well.
No, yeah, not at all. They cloud seed there in the UAE and Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's really the only way. But do you think they over cloud? I mean, this was a cloud seeding gone wrong, or was it just a freak storm?
It was a cloud seeding gone wrong. They had done cloud seeding that week, and there's no way you have a storm that just appears out of nowhere that drops enough rain for a year and a half on them and over like a 16-hour period.
They got 1.5 years worth of rain in Dubai in 24 hours.
Yeah.
The average rain there is 3.73 inches per year. Good Lord.
Boy, that's dry.
Yeah, Tuesday they got 5.59 inches, and you just can't, you know, if you're not regularly getting rain, it's not going to absorb.
And it has nowhere to go. I'm sure they don't have retention ponds that we have built in, things right. like that.
It's got to soak into the sand. Yeah, it's funny. Look at all those luxury cars with water up past the doors.
You know? Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, it's not great to say care. Hilarious because it's people, it's property getting destroyed, but watching people pull themselves out of Rolls Royces because there's so much water on there that they thought they could drive their Rolls Royces through. So that just shows you had no idea.
One guy said, my Rolls Royce got flooded and we're stuck in the middle of the road in Dubai. People in Tesla, driving Teslas, have taken to X to said they had the best experience with the Tesla Model Y as they floated down the road while every other car is stuck. I mean, they're literally Rolls Royces bobbing in the water. Wow. They like to play in the rain, but this is the first time, this one guy says, the school children were scared of the rain. Yeah, imagine that. Most people in Dubai, they've never seen a rain like that, ever.
And we're like, well, that's a Tuesday? A Tuesday, did we get like 5.5? Yeah, I believe it was Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, really. Well, I mean, the airport looked to be a mess. There were planes that were landing in it.
Oh, they're telling people to go ahead and just cancel if you had plans to go to Dubai today or in the next week or so, they think.
Right. I mean, it's got to be power outages and no one's dead so far, right?
That I've seen.
That's good. I bet old Muhammad in charge of cloud seed, he's going to have a stern talking to. So wait, they cloud seed on one day and then it rains a couple of days later?
It can, yeah. It can take a couple of days to...
I thought you flew it when they go above the clouds, they drop some kind of silica or something.
Yeah, it's a chemical mix that they do.
Yeah, but it's harmless when it hits the ground and then it... collects all the moisture out of the clouds and, you know, gets heavier and drops. People are swimming to safety, though.
It's probably climate change.
I mean, for real, we know that it's seeding. I mean, not the cloud seed. Well, man, oh, man, what a mess. When we return, we're going to get dark.
You know, we just had spooky holes that we talked about.
Spooky holes, yes.
Yeah, you'll visit spooky holes. Well, this time we're going to visit some spooky forests.
Spooky forests?
Yeah, it gives you something to do over the summer. Spooky holes and spooky forests.
I'm going to stay away from the holes, that's for sure.
I probably stay out of some of these forests, too.
That's all right. We'll do it next. Yeah, it's the Shannon.
What that?
Oh. Oh, I have Morris. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show. President of Columbia, University of Columbia, Manoush Shafiq, is in a hearing about the anti-Semitism problem there. And Representative Jim Banks brings up an important question, something we talked about a while ago on this show, about words they try to ungender, that need no ungendering.
Okay, can you help me understand something else? I didn't go to an Ivy League school, admittedly.
Yeah.
What? Can you explain why the word folks is spelled F-O-L-X throughout this guidebook and in other places at the School of Social Work? What does that mean? Serious question.
They don't know how to spell? I mean, I'm not familiar with that spelling.
I'm not. I don't find it a laughing matter.
No, I'm not laughing either. I think it's.
You're denying that this is a official product of the school, but this is handed out to all of you. You are aware that it's handed out to all of your students, and you're not doing anything to stop it.
As I said, it's not an official product of the administration.
Is this how Columbia University spells the word folks?
No.
Okay. And does Columbia University recognize the word? Because it's not found in the Webster's dictionary or anywhere else, Ashkenormativity. Right. Is that an acceptable term at Columbia University?
Congressman, I am with you.
Ashkenormativity.
I don't find this a
okay.
This is
handed out on your watch.
As I said, this is not a product of Columbia University.
To the Board of Trustees, so. Is this appropriate? Either one of you?
That term is shockingly offensive.
It's ridiculous.
Congressman.
Ma'am?
We had discussions about that memo.
Folks, as if saying F-O-L-K-S is masculine or feminine, and it needs to be just the same way they did Latinx.
Yes.
Because Latino, you know, it's a gendered language, though. It's impossible to ungender it. But here we have a word, folks, which means literally people. Whatever they may be, those people right there. Male, female, white, black, small, large, old, young. This people, your folks.
Now we got to put an X in there somehow.
Right? There's no reason to put an X on it. Oh, it's completely stupid. This is a Russian immigrant. He got a free ticket to go to Chicago. He's been in New York City for the past year as a, you know, trying to get some asylum seeking, doing some asylum seeking. And he's excited because he just got a free plane ticket to go to Chicago.
Yes, they give me a ticket for free to Chicago. I fly tomorrow.
For free?
For free.
Why are you going to Chicago?
I try to find any work because I'm homeless immigrant from Russian Federation. Yo, my name is Mark Miriam.
You're from Russia?
Yeah.
Who gave you the ticket to go to Chicago?
Chicago, no, this special government service company, you know, they try to help new people, new immigrants who come.
You're excited to go to Chicago?
Yeah, because I want to see new city. It will be, I want
Let's
to
see a new city,
new
yeah.
Vibe. A new atmosphere, and maybe try to find new contacts, new friends.
So you were in New York for 1 year, and now you got a free ticket, and now you're going to go to Chicago.
Da. And then after Chicago, I go into Los Angeles because it was my first city in my life before New York.
Did you get a free ticket to go to Los Angeles as well?
Yeah, if I ask them, but at this moment, I have like one friend in Chicago. And it will be new experience for me, you know.
So you stayed in New York for a year, then you're going to go to Chicago.
So, yeah. Where do you want to go to next, Mr. Asylum Seeker from the Russian Federation?
Yeah, just pick a place on the map. We'll send you over the free ticket.
Duh. He's been a year in New York City. He'll spend year or so in Chicago. When he's ready to go to L.A., all he has to do is let them know, and they'll get him a ticket. Wow.
Did you think there's any other country in the world that's like that where you can just, if you wanted to go to Russia and you called up the Russian news organization, like, hey, I want to go here and then I'd like to visit Moscow for a little while. Can you send me a ticket though so I can go up, you know?
Wow. That is just, I mean, you're literally on a trans continental or transnational vacation. And I'm sure he's got stipends and stuff.
I mean, he's eating somehow.
He's got a fresh haircut. Must be nice.
How's his Nikes looking, though?
They didn't get a shot. Not a scuff on him. Why is that going to be? All right, let's get dark, shall we?
Let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
We're done with spring break for the most part. And we're heading to that little last couple weeks of school for kids, heading towards the summer break. And it's time for you to start figuring out where you're going to send those little monsters for vacation. You're like, hey, let's get on the road and we're going to go visit all these things. It's America. That's the American spirit.
Route 66.
Get on there. Find the world's largest ball of yarn. Look for, I don't know, some of the other ones. The biggest stack up of waffles.
A mud hut.
Yeah, I think there actually is that as a roadside attraction.
A mud hut?
No, a giant stack of waffles. Oh. Like it's fake, big old stack of waffles. But, you know, we talked about spooky holes and how you should definitely be careful around them. Wear protection when you're near spooky holes. But what about spooky forests?
I don't know that I've ever been in I've been in some forests. I don't know that. I guess I've never been in a forest at night. Probably they're all spooky at night. But in the middle of the day, you go hiking in the middle of the day, you know.
Never been in any forest at night? Is that like a...
The what?
You said you've never been in any forest at night? That seems like quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, I've been camping.
I mean...
But... and I guess I was, you know, sleeping in a tent, but I wasn't creeped out.
No, no. Done it many times. But maybe some of these will do it. And one of them you may have been near before, Cameron Park, Waco, Texas.
Yes, I know Waco very well. Cameron Park?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it has an eerie reputation.
Right on 535.
For starters, it's a common paranormal investigation site allegedly haunted by a pair of unjustly executed 19th century outlaws. For another hike through the park, you will take you no less than to 4 different paranormal monuments in Cameron Park. There's Jacob's Ladder, which is in a set of extremely steep and aging steps that lead up to a bluff. Jacob's Ladder is said to be home to the grabbing ghost who pulls climbers to their deaths.
Well, why would I want to go there?
Well, what are the odds?
With my luck?
Oh, yeah, just taking a nice stroll up Jacob's Ladder.
Drunken radio host trips and falls off cliff in Waco, Texas.
Screams, it was the damn ghost as he falls to his death.
Claims that the ghost grabbed him.
Then there's the tar pits, where a motorcyclist died attempting an overly ambitious jump over said tar pit.
Evel Knievel style?
Yes.
When he landed, the thud right in the tar pit?
Yeah, he now haunts the area.
I bet he does.
Then there's Lover's Leap, a cliff from which a Native American Romeo and Juliet were said to have leapt to their death from.
Because their marriage was forbidden.
Yeah.
Probably.
They also apparently haunt the area. Best of all, though, there is Witch's Castle, which is a set of crumbling stone ruins in the heart of the forest where people can hear the screams and chants of witches' ghosts nightly.
Huh.
Head on down to Waco, Texas to enjoy some spooky woods. Then there's Freetown Fall River State Forest, which seems like they just put a bunch of names together to come up with that.
What's it called?
Freetown Fall River State Forest.
Is there a comma anywhere there?
No, there's a dash. There's Freetown Dash Fall River State Forest
wow.
Park.
Good Lord.
That's in southeastern Massachusetts. It's gaining much attention from true crime fans and paranormal investigators for one reason or another. There are many articles, for example, detailing the murder of Mary Lou Arruda or the role of a satanic cult that played in a murder or other ones there. But Freetown earns its spot on this list for another creepy reason, and that is aliens.
Aliens?
Yeah. Freetown has played a large part in earning its surrounding area nicknamed the Bridgewater Triangle. There's an area somewhat unique boasts in that almost every creepy happening you can imagine has claimed or confirmed within its bounds. That includes UFO abductions, regular abductions, ghosts, Native American curse, some Bigfoots,
man.
Murders, ritual sacrifices, toxic waste dust dumping, mutated animals, Thunderbird sightings, and even an escape.
Wait, Thunderbird sighting? What's yeah. Like a Ford Thunderbird?
Of course, there are a couple of them. Man, I saw a Bigfoot, but also a badass.
I saw a 72 Ford Thunderbird, man. It was finer. Also, the silo area is haunted by the Chip and Joanna Gaines smell of overpriced scented candles.
Ah. Ba-dum-ba.
Boodle.
They've even saw the escaped emu that stalks the forest, apparently. So,
a real?
Real, well. Okay.
So it's not a ghost of an emu.
It's still stalking the forest. So
that's
I don't know,
pretty
I'm
cool.
Not sure if it's still the real emu or if it's a ghost emu now. I don't know about you. About everything else I saw on that list, the emu in the forest is the thing I'm most worried about. Those things are mean.
Oh, yeah.
They can run really fast. They got big old talons.
Very hard to tame.
I think you maybe could take one down if you gave it a good punch, but you got to hit it.
Just right.
Yeah, just right. Like, I think Mike Tyson could drop an emu.
They got to get up on those hind legs, and it's like mm-hmm. being hit in the face by a horse.
Dal Hill Forest is in Kearsong, Indiana. It is basically a haunting inside of a haunting. The woods themselves are considered one of the most haunted areas in the country, and at the center of the forest sits the Victoria Boys School.
Boys' schools always haunted.
Every one of them, because they were horrible places that tortured, murdered... and made people disappear. Considered one of the most haunted schools, though. On top of that, the road leads to a school known as Death Road.
Oh, nice.
There are many alleged sightings of ghosts, orbs, disembodied giggles, and some old phantom footsteps.
Disembodied giggles.
Terrifying.
I hate, yes, any disembodied sound from a human.
Yeah, but there's nothing scarier than being in your house and hearing a child giggle and you don't have kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's bad.
That's horrible.
The most frightening local apparition, though, is the Headless Boy. He's a young boy with only a stump neck that patrols the death road. At least they gave him the neck. Like, you could have a headless, but it's clean, like, right on the shoulders.
Yeah, you have something up there.
They gave him a little bit of stump
just
on there.
Just a stump.
Yeah. To really drive home the headless part of it, though. If spotted, he runs in the trees and disappears, though, so you don't have to worry about him. Not sure how he sees his way to the trees.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Is he, his arms out in front of him, constantly feeling the way?
Local tradition, though, holds that anyone who sees the apparition will never be able to get him out of their own heads. So you'll always be.
Oh, you'll never. Yeah, I don't think I could. If I saw.
I know. I love that that's some sort of local tradition. I don't know about you. If I'm driving down the road and I see a ghost of a headless stump boy, I'm never forgetting that.
Does it look like a ghost or like you see the person?
I mean, well, a lot of times when you see night ghosts, they don't look ghostly. They look because people
look like a real hologram of a.
Well, I mean, human beings. If you ever going down a an old road and somebody's walking up an old road and you hit them with your lights already, they look ghostly to begin with, even if it's a real human that you just spotted.
That's true.
So, I mean, headless boy, whatever. The United Kingdom is actually home to several officially designated ancient forests. These forests are sites with a minimum of 400 years of continuous history. So a good chance that 400 years of history, you've got some hauntings going on.
Yep.
There's actually no surprise, though. A lot of these forests are haunted, and many of them were used as refugees refuge for criminals and fugitives. And Epping Forest is no exception.
Really?
The infamous 18th century highwayman, Dick Turpin, he pillaged in the woods. He also committed at least one of his murders there. And modern times have seen even more deaths. The woods have become a popular dumping ground for murder victims since the 60s, with at least 11 murders tied to those woods. And of course, the forest has its own share of paranormal sightings and has even been the setting of multiple horror and murder mystery novels. Because when you have a spooky murder woods, you want to write about spooky.
Oh, yeah,
murders.
Yeah. Very inspirational.
You could also head off to the
Sasangir
National Park and Wildlife Sanctuary in India. It isn't considered haunted. It wasn't the setting for grisly murders by inbred cannibals. It doesn't even play host to alien abductions, Jersey Devils, or Bigfoots. Instead, the Gir Forest is scary for one very specific and quite real reason. It's the only spot in the world where both lions and tigers hunt in the same jungle.
Ah, making it extra dangerous.
Throw in some bears.
Wait, so normally lions and tigers hunt, and they're like, hey, I'll see you later, I'm going to hunt in our forest.
They're not near each other territory-wise, usually.
Ah, okay.
Not only are there lions and tigers, but also leopards, hyenas, jackals, crocodiles, and venomous cobras.
Sounds like a dangerous place.
Sounds like a fun place.
Regardless of whether or not it's haunted.
No other forest on Earth nor land in general is home to so many apex predators. Though the two most fearsome cats usually have thousands of miles over open territory, it's reduced solely to just the Gir Forest in the last century.
Gir Forest.
Yep. Only there can two glowing yellow eyes parachute through the darkness, and you have to guess if you're going to die by lion or tiger. So.
Yeah. Or.
Or leopard.
Or alligator, crocodile.
Yeah. If you're thinking of an area in the world where there's a good chance there's haunted forests, probably one of the places that you wouldn't right off the top of your head say, but then if somebody said, hey, it's Romania, you're going to go,
oh,
yeah,
all kind of haunted. Yeah. What? Let me guess, vampires.
There's the Hoya Basio, which is a forest there. The trees themselves are creepy, growing in unnatural twists and curves, with some even spiraling or zigzagging. There's thought by some to be related to the odd flora. They actually said the air feels differently. This feeling potentially contributes to many claims of anxiety and nausea by visitors. Its main claim to paranormal fame came when a military technician captured a widely spread photograph of an alleged UFO there in 1968.
Really?
The bright object was hovering over a clearing in the center of the woods, and experts haven't been able to come up with a valid explanation on why or if it's fake. In that area also is what's, I think it's termed a witch's grove or... basically, that area where the UFO was, there is no growth there anymore. It's a perfect circle clearing there. Oh. The trees won't grow in there. Usually grass will sometimes, but like no animals will go in there. You can also head back to the U.S. and enjoy the Devil's Tramping Ground.
Tramping Ground?
Mm-hmm. Want to take a guess on where the Devil's Tramping Ground might end
Wyoming.
Up?
Wyoming.
Nah, you got to think more North Carolina.
Oh.
Yep. It's an eerily empty spot that sits within a forest in Bear Creek, North Carolina. Despite being located in the middle miles of dense forest, this is kind of what we just talked about, the ground sits completely empty of all life, and it's been that way as long as anybody can remember. The clearing spans about 40 feet, and within its bounds, people have claimed to witness a range of odd occurrences. Dogs actually prefer to avoid the spot and whine when brought within. People have seen forest animals taking detours around the spot rather than passing through it. Items left within the spot overnight end up tossed beyond its borders. The legend has it the devil uses that as a place to groove every night. So
to what?
To groove. He comes out and dances.
Okay. Has anyone ever witnessed it? Or
are you going to go out there and try to take a look?
No.
Well, there you go.
Hmm. Seems like a good way to get rid of somebody. You took him out there, put a stake in the ground, and handcuffed him to it.
No, he just ended up back outside the outside.
Oh, he tossed it outside.
Yeah, they said that everything that is in there at night, when they come back out the next morning, it's back outside the circle.
Because you messed up his...
Well, the devil's he's got a two-step that he does every time. Yeah.
And stuff. Get out of here.
He's like, got to kick and clear it. He does very, very in-depth maneuvers. So, you know, you
where
can't
is this place?
It's in Bear Creek, North Carolina.
Hmm. The devil's... What?
Devil's tramping ground.
Tramping.
And you know there is at least...
Not trampling.
Tramping.
Tramp.
Right. He's gone out and done a little tramp.
Okay.
And there is a good chance that that clearing has had at least one fiddle contest in it before.
Oh, definitely.
Before he got down to Georgia, he got to Bear Creek, North Carolina. Located in southwestern Germany, the Schwarzwald, or the Black Forest, is a...
Black Forest.
Dark, dim, confier forest. The forest names come from the fact that its trees tend to block out the sunlight, blurring the lines between night and day.
Wow.
And it is pretty much the atmosphere that the Brothers Grimm set most of their tales to, because they knew of the Black Forest. Most famously, the size and density of the forest inspired the brothers to write Hansel and Gretel.
Mm-hmm.
A tale that begins with two children becoming helplessly lost in the crowded woods. Further support in this claim is that some of the footpaths beaten into the Schwarzwald are thought to be the oldest in the entire world, and their twisting, crumbling visages look it at their... Basically, they... It looks like someone has been walking there for centuries and centuries and centuries.
I also produce a fine ham.
And the cake is delicious, too.
Oh, yeah. I forget the cake.
Poland's crooked forest.
I see pictures of this.
Yeah.
All the trees are crooked.
Yeah, they all are like that, like almost 90-degree kind of growth.
Is it because of a meteor that came down or something like that?
They think it could be something like that, or it could be another one of them devil dancing spots.
Ah.
See, all the trees all grow crooked and hauntingly, all within the same exact crooks. Every tree in the forest emerges from the ground straight up, and then within a few inches bends dramatically into semicircles before returning to normal perpendicular growth. So they all go up and kind of twist and then go back up again.
Really? That's definitely devilish.
Mm-hmm. Even weirder fact is that every one of the trees bends faces due north. So all the crooks are all pointed due north.
Someone is trying to tell us something. Or at least help you get out of the forest eventually.
So the question is, how did 100 or so pines become so identically warped? It's still a mystery. Unlike the devil's tramping ground, which scientists attribute to a naturally occurring salt lick. It's devil dancing. Come on. The crooked forest still remains a mystery. And of course, most people immediately go, it's aliens.
I thought it was someone had tried to explain it like a blast from something. They likened to not a nuclear weapon, but it's powerful as
that's
that.
That's the one in, not in Poland. That one's in Siberia.
Oh, yeah, that is a nuclear weapon.
No, that was it was a meteor that detonated above before hitting the ground. So it came through the air. Siberia's
got hot enough.
Siberia's cold enough.
Yeah, cool enough, yeah.
That
it was hot first, then it got
burst like, but it had the power of a nuclear explosion. And finally, Elfin Forest.
Elfin?
Yes, in Escondido, California. Manages, among other feats, a very rare, spooky hat trick. It holds an abandoned insane asylum.
Oh, boy.
Is cursed by Native American spirits.
Oh, boy.
And is cursed by gypsies.
Gypsies?
Yeah, you can't say that. You have to call them Romani now.
Ah, that's the trifecta of curses.
Mm-hmm. Who did you upset? who's the guy that got dropped all three of those curses?
I mean, where do you even find a gypsy to upset?
Pretty easily still, I think.
Yeah. Doing contractor work and pouring driveways and stuff.
I mean, you saw what was that show that used to be on TLC? Yeah. That was like the expensive gypsy weddings, yes, or whatever it was. Yeah. Those are one of those shows that I hate, because I would never watch them like purposely. But if you're flipping through the channels and you're just stops there and you're like, what the heck is going on?
You gotta, you have to. They live in trailers.
Yeah. But live in trailers, but she's got the like the largest fake breast possible hanging out of a dress that that costs like $40,000. Yeah.
And they drive around in caravans and trailers and do odd jobs.
Yeah. And then like 2 hours later, you all of a sudden snap out and like, what the hell have I been doing? What's going on? This forest is home to a staggering amount of creepy locations, paranormal sightings, and historical violence. There is an evil white witch who roams the forest. Of course, it would be the white witch that took the Native American land.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rock labyrinth at its heart where the gypsies conducted their regular seances. There's Old Spooks Canyon. For spooky, you can't use it for any other term. Where the gypsies lived before they were all slaughtered. That's where the curse came from. The hills above the canyon are said to be home to a mass burial ground for Native American children. And perhaps related to the graves are the mysterious children-sized footprints painted on concrete pipes in the area. Then there's Quest Haven, the abandoned psychiatric hospital, which hosts its own amount of frightening folk tales.
I bet that place is
spooky.
Horrific. Middle of the night. When we return, a lot of people say, you know, people want to destroy the nuclear family. That's mom, dad, and some, 2.3 kids or whatever. And that it's the destruction of the nuclear family has been the reason for a lot of bad things in our society today, from crime to you name it. But there's a group of people that they say the structure of the nuclear family needs to shift, and they think they have the right answer. A 20-person polyamorous relationship, they like to call a polycule. Oh, it's ran by queer women, lesbians.
Fierce ones.
Fierce. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Senate has rejected both articles of impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. Who knew that was going to happen?
Yeah, that's no surprise there.
It's been tried a number of times. The only successful time was in 1876. Hyster Clymer from Pennsylvania found his uncovered official corruption and crimes such as no parallel in our history or, as far as I know, that of any other country. William Belknap, secretary in Grant's administration, was known for throwing extravagant Washington parties, which raised the questions of where he's getting all this money. He's a government salary. Discovered a kickback scheme he had with a businessman in Oklahoma, allowing him to keep his trading post in Oklahoma. He kept his job, his lucrative job, and he would provide $12,000 annually in payments evenly split between the Belknaps and their partner, Caleb Marsh. So they got an extra $6,000 a year, $5,000 a month in 1876 to throw a lot of lavish parties. It happened again in 22. This guy failed to prosecute some people in the Teapot Dome scandal, Harry Dowdery. They found him in a scandal, conducting himself in a manner arbitrary, oppressive, unjust, or illegal. Anyways, increasingly popular, but never goes anywhere.
I don't get why they're defending him so much.
Yeah, he could be a perfect sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, easily. He's goofy. He's not a very personal person already to begin with. You could have easily burned him a long time ago, but for some reason, maybe he's got some pictures of Joe somewhere hidden away that
he's doing the bidding of Joe Biden. Joe Biden has said it repeatedly. A surge wanted a surge and he got a surge.
Yeah. But, I mean, at this point Joe could have earned some brownie points by firing him and putting someone else in there who would just do the same job, but
earn
some brownie points. Yeah.
All the talk about the nuclear family, I don't know. There's a lot of nuclear families that still exist. But, I get single mothers, single fathers, blended families. These things happen a lot. But trying to redesign a traditional relationship. I know there's a lot of, you know, guys with a couple of wives in some segments of the country. But based out of Boston, there's a group of people. They're in a, there's over 20 of them in a polyamorous relationship. And they're now talking about their unconventional lifestyle, saying the structure of the nuclear family needs to shift. The group of lovers based outside of Boston consists of couples and individuals, which includes heteroflexible men, queer women, and non-binary individuals. So nobody, there's no heterosexuals in here. Heteroflexible. They say it's chosen family, just a little kinkier. They call it a polycule. They say it's an evolving organism that looks entirely different from everyone's perspective, one of the members says, Ashley. While the origins of the word polycule are unclear, the publication said it started ticking up its uses 15 years ago. Stories about non-monogamy entered the mainstream. These people started in 2020. Several couples and singles converged and began, quote, developing friendships with one another. She says, Katie says, our polycule is large, 20 or a little more. People in their mid-20s to mid-40s. A lot of people married and have primary partnerships. They're coming to it from the opening of a monogamous relationship. Our polycule is female-run. It's the female-identified people who spearhead it. We convene, we plan, we call the shots. It's a bunch of queer women who say that we're not going to follow the rules. Everyone is deeply in love with each other, whether it's romantic love or not.
It doesn't... There's so many contradictions in the things they say.
It's empowering.
Well, we're deeply in love with each other, even if it's not love.
Right.
What?
They say in addition to being sexually liberating, they claim that their polycule provides an emotional support, networking opportunities. Hey, you might bang the guy, for the first time and find out that there's a job opening at his investment firm. They all share, or some share housing. They say it's not all fun and games, though, Eric. Like you're thinking in your head right now, oh, that sounds like fun and games. Not.
Really? There's not all fun and games from the queer-led 20-person polycule?
I know it's hard to imagine, but they do say jealousy, time constraints, and broken boundaries can complicate what otherwise appears to be a frisky, freewheeling faction that are happily throwing convention out the window. Several members said they tried monogamy. One member said he struggled when his wife started seeing this dude who was an absolute stud. I felt totally lame and inadequate. I felt like I'm 100% replaceable. Lots of tears were shed. But the polycule actually helped strengthen my marriage with Ann and made him realize our relationship was based on more than just sex.
And that's why now I believe they use the term heteroflexible.
I found Ken. they say fitting various friends and lovers, fitting them in is not an easy feat. Some members of the polycule are also parents. Got to hope they don't bring their kids around this mess.
Oh, of course they do.
Scheduling can be very tricky. There's a lot of organizing done at the polycule group, where members also keep tabs of various boundaries and preferences put in place by other members. Broken rules can be really damaging. Adhering to other people's boundaries is a big part of being in the polycule. Like Fred will not let you get near his butthole. I just put that part in.
It's true, though.
In the polycule,
very protective of it.
It ranges from people that really don't have rules to we're going to date people together, or we're going to participate in the group only as friendships or as sensual friendships. Or we're going to be sexually intimate at gatherings. And outside of that, we're not going to date anyone individually. Sounds very confusing.
Do some of the people not know they're in the polycule? Because they talk about it, some of them are just friends. So it is like, does Tom and Diane, do they come over there for a wine brunch every once in a while?
And all of a sudden, Tom's wife goes down on you?
And you're just
What's going on here?
I thought we were just friends.
Oh, it's a polycule, dog. Are you not down or what? She says, my husband, my nesting partner, is the person I own a home with. I also have a life partnership friends. I call them my wives, who are core members of the polycule. One of their husbands is one of my best friends, an occasional sexual partner. And I do have sex with my wives, but we're not romantically involved, but I love them.
See, the contradiction just crazy across the board there. I'm friends with them, but we also have sex. But I also have wives, but I don't really love them. But occasionally we have sex.
But we're not romantically involved. Meanwhile, member Katie claims she can only handle three romantic relationships at a time.
Oh, Katie.
Yeah, look, she says her community calls this condition polysaturation. Like she's reached the limit of her ability to love multiple people at one time. It's different for different people. Mm-hmm. It's just not the same for everyone.
Yeah, they look down on Katie, too.
Yeah. Despite the difficulties, the member is told the Times that the benefits outweigh the burdens. We know why monogamy is still dominant structure. The patriarchy, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of rights that women had. The polycule offers an exhilarating freedom, a feeling of freedom. As a woman, Katie says, and as a queer woman, being able to live my life as authentically as possible without needing my husband's permission, that's empowering.
Okay, yeah, but you're married. You made a commitment. Why'd you get married then at that point? You wanted to enjoy your joyous, freewheeling polycule? Then don't get married. This lady just doesn't want to admit that she's cheating on her husband with her best friend.
Well, her husband knows about it.
Does her husband get to do everything as well? Because I bet you a lot of these female polycule queer run groups are going to say, no, he's not, because she makes the decision on that if he's allowed to.
Oh, because it's run by the women?
Yeah.
Katie recalled feeling a sense of joy at a recent cuddle party where other members of the polycule, there were eight of us fit together like puzzle pieces, snuggling. It felt so cozy. So much oxytocin was flowing. We were all envisioning living together, not having to worry about individual mortgages, just having a big house. Can't we just do that? Why can't we do that? An adult sleepover camp. That's the vibe. All right.
Just awful. Awful people.
I mean, do you, but, you know, their whole goal is we want other people to get into this too.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
They're not doing a whole report on it if they want to keep their little polycule secret.
Right. They say, we hope that this is a social movement. We hope that people will feel more freedom about how they want to live and about pooling resources and living their best life. The structure of the nuclear family, the nuclear marriage needs to shift. What is she saying? Pooling resources. And they all want to get together and buy a big, big house.
Which is funny because these are the people that I bet you if you took the head members of this group and you said, okay, well, what do you think about Mormon sister wives? And they're going to, oh, my God, that's patriarchy right there. Yeah. You're the one man, and he is the head of the household of all those women.
There's no real man in this group.
This is basically a female Mormon wives, but they don't want to admit that because that's bad.
I really want to see what they look like.
You can just guess. Let's just say
they're not smoking hot.
Let's just say their tub is stained with different colors of hair dye.
Oh, really? Did you see pictures of them?
No, but I've seen some of the other ones that they've done. They've done polycule, you know, exposés on.
Well, they use some stock photos for this to make you think that they're all, you know, the girls are young and hot. All their hot girl legs hanging out. Well, they hope their openness will help others feel more empowered to experiment with unconventional lifestyle choices, bucking conventional notions of what a romantic relationship should look like. That's the end of humanity, really, right?
Yeah, because, well,
you're not reproducing children, raising. Some do have kids, but I would imagine you're not having kids with your polyamorous lover.
I Google searched one just for images, and I put polycule. And the first one comes up with a Reddit picture of me and my polycule heading to Pride yesterday.
Oh, Lord.
They look exactly like you thought they would.
Oh my God. Are those teeth real?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Definitely a transgender man.
Uh-huh.
A female that looks like she's that, like, I'm best
just
friends
got
with
off
all the
softball team. Diamond.
And then a pudgy, no chin guy.
Who's definitely non-binary.
Yeah.
They, them. Yeesh. Look, you know, like I said, you're in the freest country in the world. You got to be able to do whatever you want. But I wouldn't, you know, this country was built on a nuclear family. I mean, most of mankind has evolved and succeeded because of the nuclear family. A male, a female, a mother and a father, producing children, raising them, you know, blah, blah, blah. Them going out to do the same thing. I don't know why some people feel the need and polyamory is not going to be the norm. Let's be honest.
No.
Never be close to it. But why diss the nuclear family when it's what got you here? I love this story. I also love the story about Jelly Roll. Look at that jelly. Jelly Roll is a recent phenomenon, right?
He's really blown up on the scene for the past year or so.
And what would you say his genre of music is? Country rap?
Country rock rap, yeah. He's in that kind of weird, almost kind of the same thing that Kid Rock kind of, you know, he made that style of country rap, made it popular. It was there before him, but he kind of blew it up and then...
Yeah.
Jelly Roll, though, has a talent. He's very talented.
What are you saying? Kid Rock's not talented?
He has his moments.
Jelly Roll, does he play an instrument or just rap and sing?
He plays guitar.
Well, the real Jelly Roll is not very happy. And by the real Jelly Roll, I mean the Philadelphia favorite wedding band, Jelly Roll, who's been together since 1980. They own the trademark Jelly Roll, and they're around 4 years before the singer was born.
I mean, they're right. Nobody's been married in Philadelphia that doesn't know Jelly Roll, the wedding band.
That's the go-to. You guys getting married? You're hiring Jelly Roll, aren't you? I hope so.
I didn't have enough money for Jelly Roll.
We can't afford Jelly Roll. The lawsuit states the plaintiff, professionally known as Jelly Roll, has been providing musical and vocal accompaniment for celebratory and charitable events. First in the Delaware Valley and now throughout the northeast part of the United States since at least 1980, including other notable events, two appearances at the White House. Hello for George W. Bush and his family. Conversely, defendant, who was not born until 1984 in Antioch, Tennessee, claims in published interviews that his mother referred to him as Jelly Roll as a small child. The suit claims Jelly Roll's name has caused confusion with who is playing what event in the Northeast, and the country star's fame has destroyed the Jelly Roll wedding band's Google presence.
Okay, to your ex, I sent you a YouTube link of the Jelly Roll wedding band's promo video that they must be their solo. They're the biggest wedding band in the tri-state area, so.
Are they? Are they what? Oh, boy.
This is how.
Uh-oh, is that them?
How we do it. Come on. This is how we do it.
So they're just they're a knockoff.
It's a wedding band.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's a big band. It's gotta be 10.
I mean, they got a brass section, they got a little piece. Rhythm, yeah.
Well, prior to the defendant's recent rise in notoriety, a search for the name of Jelly Roll on most search engines, particularly Google, returned references to the plaintiff. Now, any such search on Google returns multiple references to the defendant, perhaps as many as 18 to 20 references before any of the plaintiff's entertainment dance band knows that Jelly Roll can be found. Defendant's unapologetic continued infringing acts and conduct, unless enjoined by this court, will continue to cause consumer confusion, mistake, and deception. They also say that Jelly Roll's team had emailed the band to discuss a cease and desist letter sent by the band. Several conversations ensued, and at one point, defendant's counsel inquired as to whether defendant really was in competition with the plaintiff. Plus, Jelly Roll's prison stint for felony robbery charges has hardened the band's reputation.
Oh, I was going to get Jelly Roll for my wedding venue, but then I found out
y'all was a bunch of felons. because of the defendant's troubled past, which includes a felony conviction for an imprisonment. Such association, as averred above, has caused additional harm to plaintiff among public and trade. I mean, can you, if it's just Jelly Roll's nickname, like if someone were to come to me and go, hey, you got to stop using your nickname Shando, because we've been, we had a band called Shando. We've been around since the 70s.
Yeah, but almost the only thing they may be able to do is get him to have to use his name plus his nickname. So it'd be like, you know, how Sean Puffy Combs, he does that. It would have to be, I actually don't know what his real name is.
Me neither. Sean Combs.
No, but I mean, I'm talking Jelly. I don't know what Jelly Roll's real name is.
Oh, I don't either. Yeah. Everyone refers to him as Jelly Roll. Maybe that's to his. I mean, but you can't change the guy's nickname. How do you get away from the nickname Jelly Roll? You've been called that since you were a kid.
His name is Jason DeFord. So they would have to probably do something like Jason Jelly Roll DeFord. And then everything would be. Jelly Roll would be really big. And DeFord, Jason DeFord would be on the either side of it.
Man, he's more famous than the wedding band.
If they had it.
You know, think they want money for him to stop using it?
No, they want money. Again, there's nobody that is confused. They're not going, we showed up here at this little wedding at the chapel here, and we thought actual Jelly Roll, the big-time musician, was going to be here, and Jelly Roll, the wedding band, showed up.
There was a guy busted in Texas. I've talked to this before. In Killeen, there's going to be Curtis Blow. Curtis Blow is in town. Oh my God. They sold this little arena. Then they felt like out there was Kurt S. Blow. A riot ensued. It was hysterical. I mean, this guy, the Jelly Roll singer, I mean, he was in prison before he even had a chance to get out of high school. Served time when he was 14. His first kid was born while he was behind bars. His life's on track now. Got full custody of his kid. He raises her with his wife. He's Bunny, who's a former sex worker. And they're married, and he's living, it's the American dream. And along comes a wedding man who wants to wreck it.
Yeah, but did you hear them performing This Is How We Do It? Because
let's fit it back to an old school track. This
is how it's a great band, if that's your thing. Pretty good for a wedding band.
But Nana's just getting it down right on the dance floor. Now the Nana's getting it down on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah, that's Jelly Roll. Play my son's wedding.
Oh, good transition.
Oh, wow. Oh, so they're one of those bands.
Oh, yeah, they're a medley band.
Well, they're great musicians. Yeah. I'll give you that. They're all, they're probably all a bunch of studio guys that make a couple extra bucks. Well, that band probably costs 10, 15 grand a book. I'm not going to walk it, knocking. What's my buddy's got the best wedding? What's the big one in town here? Try the tip of tongue. The guy used to live across the street from me. Son of a bitch. My buddy played. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. That's all he does. Does quite well with the wedding band.
I can tell you right now that I put in Jelly Roll wedding band cost, and they don't show up until like the eighth thing down the way anyway.
Ooh.
I got Etsy wedding bands, Jelly wedding bands on Amazon, then all the stories about them suing, and then finally I get down to them.
Well, they shouldn't have filed a lawsuit now. It's above their own band in the Google search.
I want to try to book it. Oh, well, I want to see how much they cost, but they want me to go through all the.
Oh, yeah. They'll get all your entertainment, so they get all your numbers.
Yeah.
So they can harass you all the time. You still interested in booking Jelly Roll? The Northeast number one wedding band. A guy in Memphis, Tennessee, wants to go rob a store, tries it three times. First time he goes in, makes it look like he may have a gun. The clerk, instead of calling the cops, goes, dude, get out of here. You don't have a gun.
Yeah, it's Memphis. He's like, just get out of here.
If you're, people been in here with guns before, you ain't got a gun. Comes again, tries the same thing. He says, no, get out of here. You're not going to, he's reaching in his clothing, he says, get out of here. He left. 3:05 a.m., he comes back to the store for a third time, this time with a 5-foot snake wrapped around his neck. and said, well, I walked up to the counter, said, give me the damn money. I'm a snake, will get you. First of all, the snakes that are that size, you hang around your neck and walk around, are boas or pythons. They've been raised in a tank somewhere. They're not venomous. What's the guy going to constrict the clerk to death?
He's going, hiss, hiss.
I'll put this snake around. He'll constrict around you.
Yeah, you'll die in the next 10 to 30 minutes or so. That's if you can't get him off of you.
Nobody was taken. No injuries were sustained. That's just, he's sitting around thinking, Dad, I got to rob that store, man. I ain't got a gun. What do we have? I don't know, a baseball bat.
They took my knives.
Shaniqua got a 5-foot boa constrictor.
I saw what it did to that rat.
This clerk has got to be at that point, the guy was arrested eventually, correct?
Yeah, I think they did finally arrest him.
Find him walking down the street, looking dejected with a 5-foot snake around his neck.
Which is a poor gas attendant who is, one, so unfazed that he's like, I'm not giving you any money. Just get out of here. No, I think he finally pulled a gun on him, if I remember correctly, out of the story.
Oh, yeah, the clerk pulled a gun on him. Yeah. He's like, you have a gun? Damn it. I wonder if he went home from work. His wife's like, hey, how'd it work? No big deal. Average night. Mm-hmm. Nothing big.
Snake assault again.
Guy came in with a 5-foot boa constrictor, tried to rob me. That's like that dumb guy that tried to, did he try to rob a Wendy's with an alligator or store?
He just chucked an alligator.
Oh, I thought just as a joke. I thought he was like, give me the money. I'll stick my alligator on you. All right, when we return, our buddy John Jensen will join us. I want to talk about that priceless piece of art that someone, it's a Revolutionary War sketch that someone just finds in a New York City apartment. I was trying to find out what it's worth. When they say priceless, I mean, there's a price.
Yeah, but they say the historical context makes it priceless. So it's, you're never going
to get it. I'll tell you what, if it's in my apartment, someone is going to have to pay me something. It's not like so priceless that I'm not getting paid for you taking it out of my apartment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not one of those guys is going to say, out of the goodness of my heart and respect for Revolutionary War history, I will donate to some. Pay me.
This is mine.
John Jensen's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Oh. Wednesdays, we check in with our friend John Jensen. To get his take on things, you can find it where you get your social media at Fix the Nation. Great follow. John, how are you?
Doing very well. Lot to talk about, dude. Holy crap.
You pick a starting point. I was going to get, I don't know where I was going to start. The Mayorkas thing was a sham. We knew it was going to be a sham. We knew it wouldn't go anywhere. That's not even a good place to start because that was a foregone conclusion. The Trump trial. Do you see any juror? So far, in the brief descriptions that we've seen, I've only seen the top seven. I'm sure more were sat today that may offer a glimpse of hope for Trump. It just takes one.
It does take one. It depends on how impartial people can be. You know, do I think they're going to be screaming, his name and wearing,
right.
MAGA hats and all that kind of stuff. No. Do I think that there are true independents in the middle swath of the country that can, be objective and hear and kind of follow logic and reason? Yeah. But we will see. We will see. I don't have anyone to point at that's, an overwhelming, would. No, not yet.
It's difficult, Vordire. It's just a boring process. And, I saw some that looked like they weren't like sure in your typical, 85% of New York City votes the Democrat, anyway, 88%, some obnoxious number like that. Who knows? The real question is, if he is convicted, John, what do you believe the judge will do at that point? Will he remand him? Will he allow him to stay out on appeal? He's not a flight risk.
Oh, he'll stay out on appeal until the appeals process is completely done. I can't imagine they would put a former president of the United States literally behind bars for any length of time. That's just
while he's campaigning.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's a possibility. I mean, you might be legally, you know, responsible, but there are other ways to handle it.
It's a possibility. I mean, look what they've done so far. Some of these cases have no real basis in reality, and it would not surprise me if that was the goal. It was to get him into a cell somewhere. I don't know how they accomplish that with Secret Service coverage, but I think it's something that he's got to consider.
I'd be interesting to have Secret Service in the cell with him.
Right. Well, they had to like sequester him in a wing, you know, and have the Secret Service outside the gate, outside the bars. I don't know. It just, you know, we live in such a crazy, weird time. It would not shock me. It would not shock me.
I don't think anything would shock us at this point in time because we're kind of dealing in an irrational reality. You know, this is just bizarro land that we've crossed into. You know, if you would have gone back in my life and said, would we ever have been so partisan in a country where one side goes after the other for something that was not a hugely blatant travesty of justice, think Nixon. Okay. Right. Even the Republicans, you know, were against him back in that day. You know, he made a wrong, period. You know, if it's not a clear distinction like that, I just can't fathom that one party against the other, no matter which party, against whatever party, doesn't matter.
Right.
That we're so hyper-partisan, where it's come to this, where the demonizing of one particular individual has come to this.
Right. And
at all costs.
And then the Democrats' word is the danger in Trump getting elected is that he may decide to weaponize areas of the government. Can you believe that? You know what I mean? It's almost like we're getting gaslit right to our face. They have weaponized judiciary. They have weaponized lawmakers against Trump and change laws in order to bring suits upon him. And now their fear is they want the Americans to be afraid and concerned that he might weaponize government to go against his opponents. They always accuse the other of doing what they're doing at the time.
Yes, no Democrat should have the right to use the word weaponization as an explanation for anything on their side of the equation being unfair.
True.
That's just an insanity. And just laundry list, DOJ, FBI, IRS, I would make the case NIH and CDC. I would make the case for international bodies. I would make a case for climate change. I'd make a case for identity, you know, the woke agenda. I mean, everything has been weaponized against the normal rationale, the way things were, you know, and the other side. And a lot of it has been Democrats, but also establishment elite Republicans
who right.
don't fight back against that because they're just, you know, this is the status quo that they actually want. Weaponization should not be a word they use.
Right. They have weaponized so many facets of our society. The media, for example, if you take, for example, Biden's news story today that his uncle Bodie, he suggested he was shot down on a reconnaissance flight, and he may have been eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. That's a news story, and it's quite elaborate. I'll hand it to him. We turned out it's all BS. He went down in the water. There's no cannibalism in the area. But that a statement so whacked out like that, made by Donald Trump, at any point in his political career would have been. The things, you know, the treatment is so unbelievably different. You know, Donald Trump drank water once, used two hands, and you thought that he was stealing money directly from the government. It was just an amazing thing. We have issue after issue after issue with this guy, and it just largely goes unnoticed by our mainstream media.
It goes back to the death of journalism, the rise of editorialism, which borders on propaganda, and how the mainstream media just literally, if it's in their agenda, in their wheelhouse, they will run through any wall and sell any story to promote their agenda. If it's anything counter to their agenda, they will fight it tooth and nail because it's an insanity to think that would be a possibility. New York Post story about Hunter Biden laptop.
Right.
It was just completely thrown off every platform and, you know, it can't be true. whereas the Russian collusion story was validated by 17 intelligence agencies, and everybody ran with it, although it was complete utter BS. All about agenda.
It is, it's a weird place to be politically in this country. And it's almost as if one side didn't do the same, then they would be at an incredible disadvantage. You know what I mean? Like it could start as tit for tat and then be really just completely partisan for partisan sake. And then it's like, if we're not partisan, we're going to lose. If we don't attack, then we're going to get attacked and we're going to lose. So it's become a vicious, vicious cycle, I think, at this point.
Here's the rub for me personally. And I think this is where the GOP is making a humongous mistake in the last, we'll call this current session of Congress. They pursued, and against my wishes, and I was vocal about with you, they should ignore the whole impeachment crap. It's a distraction. Okay. I know they have to fight it for their base, but the flip side is it's not governing. They spent time on Mayorkas. They went through impeachment. It gets put to the Senate. And in less than a day, in half a day, they go start to finish, toss it out. It was a waste of time. They're not wrong. It was a complete waste of time.
Right.
They're talking about possibly vacating the second speaker of this session. Okay, that's an insane. They are spending more time on vacating and conversations like that in-house than they are in governing the nation. If you are not willing to lead, if you're unwilling to govern, if you're unwilling to change the status quo, to sell your message, your vision, to paint that clear picture, to lead by example, you will lose elections, you will lose the control, and you will lose forever in perpetuity. And you cannot change the narrative of the media because you have not done better. You are wasting time, wasting patience, wasting resources and energy on completely the wrong things and showing you are not the answer. That's what the GOP is doing. Forget the Democrats. Forget the media. That's what they're doing to themselves. So for me, they need to fix that. Govern. Stop vacating. Govern.
Right.
And but, the people will fall. People are desperate for good leadership. The Democrats do not give them that. They give them indoctrination and an agenda and say, eat it or get away from us. You're toxic or you're with us. The GOP have a huge opportunity, but they're failing. They're shooting themselves in the foot and literally hurting each other in the process to do as little and as worst as they can, which is bad for everybody in this country.
And it speaks to the mass exodus from Capitol Hill from some Republicans. And I fear that, John, and maybe you have some insight on this. I fear that it would deter a great vice president candidate for Donald Trump. Like, why would I sign up for this? You know, this nonsense. And, you know, because if Trump doesn't win, you've been drugged through the mud like he's been drugged through the mud. And do you believe there are any, have you seen anything that would lead you to believe that he has chosen that person?
He probably has chosen that person or has a very, very short list, like 2 to 3. One is the pick and the other two would be the backup options. I will say this, if you are going to be the VP pick for Donald Trump, you better have ultra thick skin, understand he will turn on you at some point in time. And you will be hated for the rest of your life by a lot of this country. And if you're in for that, take the job. If you're not in for that, I don't know why you take the job. But matter of time on all those fronts. Brutal, brutal choice for him and brutal position to actually hold and actually do anything with. You know, assuming you get in.
Right. Do you believe that people suffer for endorsing Trump, like people in Congress, for example, Jim Jordan, others that have endorsed Trump, it goes completely against the narrative that this man is a insurrectionist. He tried to take over the country. He's a rapist. He's this. He's a racist. He's all these horrible things. Lied about the value of his property. Blah blah blah. And then a stand-up guy like Jim Jordan endorses them, or some other respectable affairs or calamity or drama in their public lives, Republicans, they're willing to go down with the ship, I think.
I think that it's going to hurt or help you depending on what your base is, meaning, you know, in your district. So if you are in a hyper red district, you can back Trump all you want and won't feel any pain from it. just like if you're a Democrat, okay, think Pelosi. You're in a bright blue district. You can hate Trump, speak out about it. It won't cost you a thing in the polls. In fact, they both raise money that way. Here's the question is, will endorsing Trump with people who are more in, I'll call them swing or purple districts, or swing or purple states, think Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, easy example.
All right.
It's a purple state. He's done well. He has represented the state really well. He's been productive. He's a sane, rational, visionary man that the state collectively, both parties, have responded well to. Okay, that being said, should he come out and endorse Trump, it would be a net loss for him. Because the people on the blue side of the aisle in that state
right.
would say, oh, I told you, he's an extremist. Oh, because, you know, he's delusional. Da, 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 da. He'd lose politically. He just has to stay Switzerland and stay neutral. And that's the unfortunate truth, because we're so tribal in this country.
Right. Yeah.
Hate and love are the opposite sides of the same coin, depending on which party you're in. And it's unfair, because there are good leaders in the middle who should be able to have a voice and be heard out on why they think that way.
Let's change gears a little bit. The Iran, I guess you could call it an attack. It was indeed largely 90%+ thwarted, 95% thwarted. They feel great success. They're warning about, should you try to retaliate in any way, we've got a bomb, a weapon we've never used before, and it will unleash holy hell. And then when you step back as an American, you know that Biden has released $10 billion to Iran. We fund and arm Israel on a regular basis. And we sit back and realize we're funding both sides of this thing. Do you see it going, escalating any further? I know that everyone's told Bibi to just chill out, let them think they've got their revenge and move on. But that's unlike Israel, to my experience. Where do you think it goes from here?
Yeah, it'll depend on Israel. Israel is a very much an independent entity. They do not follow America's guidance. They will do what's best for Israel, period. And they typically are a little bit more proactive than we would like them to be. So I would say they might hold off, but I would say it's unlikely. 40% they hold off, 6% they keep going.
Yeah.
You know, because Israel, in a way, wants us involved. They want our money, and they want us to get their back, and they want to end this, meaning get rid of Hamas. That's where they're going.
Right.
That's what their focus is. Do I think that Iran is done from their side of the equation? Hey, they had a response. You know, they were attacked. They did the response. We're good. Short of funding everybody else. And you said it. We're funding both sides of this crap
in
some way, shape, or form. If you are a globalist, if you are a neocon, this is you. This is what you've asked for. This is what you have been given by how you have elected people and how you've allowed people to send money overseas to fund all this crap. And the more money you send, they're putting a foreign aid package together, $61 billion for Ukraine, about $9 billion for, I think it's Taiwan, and another $14 million, something like $95 million together for three entities.
Billion.
None for our U.S. border,
right.
But all to protect the borders and sovereignty of three foreign nations. That's where the U.S. tax dollars in the leadership in D.C. feel it's worthwhile to send money. Why they ignore our southern border crisis.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
It is insanity.
But it's why it happens, because we have neocons and globalists in D.C. that do not prioritize America, period.
What do you think about the phenomenon, John, of what has turned into it started as pro-Palestinian protesters here in America. Then it turned into anti-Israel protesters. Now it's downright support of Hamas, Hezbollah, and Houthis, all of them proxies of Iran. And then Americans on in the streets of Brooklyn and other places celebrate. They're flying flags of Hamas and wearing Hezbollah headbands. And I mean, is this a phenomenon? Is it a fad?
Is it a fad? No. Is it something that has been energized? Yes. This is being driven. This is not grassroots. This is not just, oh, you know, I woke up and whimsically just decided Hamas was the team I wanted to root for.
Right.
You know, these are people who keep, you know, The gas keeps getting tossed on the fire to, you know, make the flames go higher, repeat the process.
But
they want this to become more. They want the outrage to build. The sad part is no one could define what they mean by Hamas.
What do you mean?
Why are you protecting Hamas? What's the good news behind protecting Hamas? You want to say pro-Palestine, I'm okay with that.
Right.
I mean, they'd be pro-Palestine and anti-Hamas. You could say that in the same breath and be okay. And in the same breath, they try to vilify Israel, but they have zero facts behind them to explain why Israel is this genocidal, you know, entity.
I mean, they've chosen the triple crown of terrorism, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Houthis, all of them funded by Iran. I don't know. They're ruthless, all of them. Their goal is terror, death, and destruction, and the removal of all Jews in Israel. And there are Americans who are probably educated at places like Columbia and Harvard that are in the streets, blocking the Golden Gate Bridge and this nonsense in the name of these groups. I just find it to be a country that has been attacked by Islamic terrorists, albeit years ago, I would think would have a different appeal. But we're at an age now, it's been long enough to where a lot of these people don't recall or don't remember, weren't around when 9/11 occurred, so...
Right. And I'm working on what I call a algorithm to kind of redefine who our allies and our enemies are in this country. It's like scale 1 to 5. Fives are, our enemies, hardcore, think North Korea. One are hardcore allies. And there's some neutrals and some, lean toward us and lean away from us kind of stuff. Not everyone can be painted as white and black, as good and evil.
Right.
In this world, these terrorist groups are evil. Period. They kill people. They're trying to exterminate people. You can disagree with our policies. We are not out to exterminate anybody on this planet. You can say we're imperialistic. You can say that we are, pro-war. We're, some people in D.C. are warmongers, that kind of stuff. We're too aggressive. We're part of the problem. You can say that and be partially right, partially wrong across the board. You cannot say we're exterminating people. That's not what the U.S. does.
Right.
That's not what Israel does. These terrorist groups, that's what they want to do. They spend their life recruiting, creating, training, planning, and executing how to kill people that they disagree with.
Right. They don't want to negotiate with them. That's not the goal. It's not to have peace between them. It's to kill them, to make sure they no longer exist.
Correct. They Amazing. Need to eliminate them from the planet. Wow.
Scary. John Jensen, follow him where you get your social media at Fix the Nation. Parting thoughts on the roadblock situation, Golden Gate Bridge, the operation Monday?
Here's my quick take. Peaceful assembly means you do not break the law. You do not infringe on others' rights. People like this are a public nuisance and disturbance. They should be arrested. Do it the right way, protest the right way, and that's your constitutional right. You don't have the right to infringe on anybody else's freedoms, and you cannot break the law in doing it. It's unrest.
It's not going to be tolerated here in Florida, but it seems that there are some arrests on the bridge. There are some arrests, I take it, in Oakland. Probably not enough arrests there. But in these places where they're getting arrested, they're going to be walked in one door, take a fingerprint, walk out the other door. There's no real consequences right. to these things.
What I found more entertaining, by the way, is the illegal aliens that were marching on
New York City.
City Hall in New York City because they were upset. They were losing their hotel accommodations and being sent to shelters.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me get this right. The sanctuary state who's protecting you, you're upset with them because the quality of what you've been receiving isn't up to your standards. When you come from a third world country, hiked across 11 countries, and you came here with nothing in your pocket.
It's just wow. It didn't take long for that entitlement attitude to come around, did it? John Jensen.
Future Democrat.
Yeah. Get it where you get your social media at Fix the Nation. A great follow. John, always good. Thank you very much, brother. Have a good week.
You too. Thanks, Shannon.
See you, buddy. All right. When we return, remarks. Woman took a dead guy into the bank, trying to get a loan. That didn't work out very well.
Who hasn't tried that, though?
I mean, it was so obvious. The guy was cold.
Yeah, he was.
I saw pictures that weren't blurred out. There's no question that guy's been dead for a while. And a really dumb mistake one guy made on a U.S. citizen on holiday in Switzerland that may cost him $143,000. Hang on. It's a Shannon Burke Show.
That's traffic on Florida Man Radio.
Fellow by the name of Rene Raymond, he and his wife Linda made a trip to Switzerland. You know, short holiday trip.
Yeah, a little weekend jaunt.
Yeah. They'd been there previously. He's originally from there. As always, he ensured his mobile phone provider was notified of his travels by going to in-store to share his overseas movements. He said that in a customer of them for 30 years, he was told that he was covered. Don't worry about it. So he went out to the Swiss countryside and took some beautiful pictures of the magical sights he had seen on his trip to send them back to his friends and family here in the States. When he returned, he got his T-Mobile bill in the mail. He said, wow, $143, that sounds pretty reasonable. Then he looked a little more carefully and realized that it was $143,442.74. He racked up 9.5 gigs of data while in Europe, costing him the extra dough. That's a hell of a roaming fee.
Yeah, that's the type of one where I'm going to write deceased on the envelope and send it back to them and see if I can get away with it. Like, ah, no, that guy did.
Okay, so he was told that he was covered by a T-Mobile person. He calls them when he gets back. He's got a customer service girl on the phone. She said, the girl puts me on hold for a while. She comes back and said, let me check this out. I'll get back to you. Puts it back on hold. She comes back and goes, yep, that's a good bill. Click. She says, that's what you owe. He said, you're kidding me. You're crazy. He hired a lawyer to argue the fact that he was covered for international roaming to avoid such exorbitant fee. His lawyer issued a letter to the president of T-Mobile. Has not received a reply. Until just a couple of days ago. The letter said that the service provider was sorry for the charges, that Redmond would receive a credit to eliminate the entire phone bill. They remind people to check your plan. Yeah, Kim did that when she went to Korea, but we didn't use, we went through WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Which is completely free. We're just to talk.
You know, it's a lot of people use that now. That's a big, you know, in foreign countries. That's a massive app outside of the U.S.
It's like free long distance.
Yeah.
Remember back when you had to pay for long distance?
You had to carry a card. Especially if you're going out of the country, you got to take the card and you scratch it.
Yeah.
You gotta put a 20-digit code in there before you put the phone number.
If a customer is on an older plan that doesn't include international roaming for data, they'll need to make sure they're using airplane mode and Wi-Fi when using data and be certain the device doesn't connect to an international network. Last year, some lady from Australia got tagged with a $720,000 bill.
It's connected to the port for 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yeah.
Yikes. Wow. Remember, you'd get a call from, hey, are you interested in changing your long-distance provider? I had a girlfriend in high school. She went out to college in Ohio. And we used to talk all the time. And my mom was like, oh, my God. And the bills were incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I can call for free anywhere.
I always remember having to, back before the really big cell phone for everybody, you'd go to a gas station, you'd pick up the payphone there, you'd hit the collect button, and you know, say, who's the collect call from? You say, pick me up, 7-Eleven, hang up the phone.
Would that work?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Art worker uncovered in a New York City apartment has turned out to be a rare, priceless, revolutionary art sketch. 1777 drawing by Pierre Eugène de Simetière, a Swiss artist known for painting the first known portrait of George Washington. Discovered in the apartment of an amateur collector by the curator of the Museum of the American Revolution. Max Skick, the curator, said, "My heart was racing. One of the soldiers was wearing a distinctive American garment called a hunting shirt. It was a typical garment of the Continental Army worn by American soldiers. It's a pen and ink. Sitting in Judith Hernstadt's home shows soldiers walking or riding alongside a horse with a drawn wagon and two women and blah, blah, blah." It was the oldest known drawing of camp followers or the wives and daughters who tagged along with the troops that helped cook and do other chores. This lady says, "I could see this guy was freaking out." She said she picked it up 40 years ago. After some detective work, they identified Ducimitier as the artist, dug through his historical clips to learn that it depicted North Carolina troops marching through Philadelphia. They've agreed to have it displayed at the Museum of American Revolution. Will soon be on hand when it's unveiled later this week. You can't just say priceless.
Well, that guy is never going to put a number on it, because then, of course, you could sell at that point.
Well, I'm sure Judith Hempstead could figure that out on her own, right? I'll call a some other art broker.
Head on down to Old Antiques Roadshow.
Hell yeah. What you have here? Let's get to these remarks. From the Florida Man Radio app and powered by Morris Family Farms. Great archive collection of this show and Don's show. The Bubba Show does his own deal. Great way to call the show, text the show, and talk to us through the microphone button down at the bottom. There we go.
If you drive your Tesla in a flood, the batteries get wet because they're in the bottom of the car, and then your car will burst into flames. Be-do-be-do.
I've seen Teslas drive through water that would kill a combustion engine because there's no exhaust, there's no air intake, none of that's needed.
Yeah, but you normally destroy them.
Yeah. Well, you drive your car, if it gets some water in the intake, you're destroyed it.
Hey, Shendo, well, after you get off this morning with Bubba, the love sponge, he was talking about winger pumpers, and he was talking about you used one. Can you elaborate on this? I'd love to hear more about it.
He claimed to have sent me a penis pump. I haven't received it. You know, he and the crew there are big on pumping.
There's probably a good chance he had a porch pirate, and the guy's really confused.
Man, we got something. What is this? I saw it on Amazon. It looks oddly like the aquarium gravel vac I use to clean my aquariums with.
It's not the old Austin Power Swedish penis pump.
No.
Hell, you ain't got to go all them weird places EZ was talking about, man. Just take some mushrooms, go out in your backyard, and walk through the woods.
All right.
This polycube idea sounds like it's being run by the sirens of Homer, you know, and except for, isn't it just swinging? Yeah, it's swinging with different boundaries to it, maybe, but I don't know that there's boundaries to swinging. I haven't done that yet. Okay, sounds like swinging.
It is, basically, right? Wife swapping.
Hey, Craig in Niceville here again. I keep forgetting which one's bad for you, polysaturated or polyunsaturated. Also, let me know when Frank eases up on that butthole rule.
Yeah, remember Frank was anti.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, another round of butthole. That's my boundary, buddy. Check the chalkboard in the living room.
As you can see on the board, Frank's boundaries are butthole and any type of mayonnaise play.
Todd Daytona, tell Jelly Roll the band not to fret, because ever since Big Dick, the Native American who fronted Big Dick and the Extenders of Isla Mirada, passed away, there's a really great name up for grabs. And yeah, there's a direction. Go with it. Run with it.
Big Dick in the what?
Reinvent yourself.
The extenders.
In Isla Mirada? I haven't been to a wedding in Isla Mirada, as a matter of fact. Big Dick and the Extenders were not playing.
So I'm driving 10 hours to Welcome to Rockville to see the Felon Jelly Roll. Man, I wanted to hear some electric slide.
Is he at Rockville this year?
Yeah, he'll be at Rockville. I think he's Saturday night.
No kidding.
Friday night.
That's always a good show. Foo Fighters too, right?
I think they were at last year's. I don't know.
Pap here from Florilla. Well, I ain't gonna give nobody none of my jelly roll. Wouldn't give you a piece of my cake to save your soul. My mama told me today when she went away, she said, be a good boy, bring you a toy. And I'm not mama's pride and joy. Ain't no use.
I've never heard a song in my life.
Hanging around. I love you, and I hate to turn you down.
All right, I don't know.
Is that a Pap original?
I think.
Hey, Shannon. Yeah, so I've been tased twice, and it's probably one of the worst pains I've ever felt. I do not recommend it.
Some details would be appropriate here. I got tased twice.
On purpose? Yeah.
I know cops have to do it.
Yeah.
Before they, deploy one so they know the feeling. And do service members have to do it? I don't think so. The cops do, though. But it's only a temporary pain, right? It's like, and then they...
Well, I mean, if he keeps holding the trigger down.
Well, if I'm trying to go through cop school, I'm hoping they're not going to juice me for, 5 minutes. Just a quick little, let me fall to the ground and...
We'll get a laugh at it.
It is funny every single time.
I'm glad I went with oatmeal cream pie from my polyamorous wedding singing band. I don't want to be sued by Jelly Roll.
There's another example of this that happened. I believe it was when the Dixie Chicks dropped Dixie and called themselves the Chicks, right?
Yes.
And there was a band that had been around for some 20 years.
It was Lady Antebellum.
Oh, okay. That's right.
And they changed their name to Lady A.
Lady A. And Lady A's been around forever.
And they changed their name from Lady Antebellum because they thought it was, Antebellum. It was racist.
Right.
And they stole the name from a black female group.
They had to pay them, I'm sure.
I think they did.
Man, that dude robbing the place with the snake is hilarious. He could have done better with literally anything. He could have gone 10 steps outside the store and found a sharp piece of glass, a shard of metal, a stick from a tree, anything.
Could have tied a raccoon to a stick, too, and really shook that sucker.
I mean, is anyone really afraid of a person? I mean, the guys that make a living... in beach towns that have a snake and they put it around a girl's neck, take a picture, and charge $5. No one's afraid of snakes. Those snakes. Yeah. A rattlesnake. Now you had me. I'd give you anything in the register if you brought a rattlesnake in there.
Yeah, honestly, probably if he had gone into a back dumpster and found a possum or something like that, shook that possum at that guy, he got something faster.
That polycule sounds more like a bunch of the leftover members from Branch Davidians, Hail Bops, Freaks, and Revenge of the Nerds cobbled a group together and shacked up. It's crazy. I don't know, up here in the Northeast, the more people you talk to, they say, let's just hurry up and get the Civil War on and get it over with. Those freaks better worry about how long it takes to wash that dye out of their hair. They'll be easy targets.
Oh, yeah. Good point. It does sound a little bit cultish.
Hey, what's up, Shando, Easy, Heather, Sparky352. So, I'm an electrician, and if I wire your house and it burns down, you're never going to hire me again, and you're going to fire me. So, why can't we fire Mayorkas? How did Chuck Schumer just let both articles of impeachment go through? No problem. Be-do-be-do. Love you guys.
I missed everything you had to say about Biden talking about his Uncle Bodie or whatever getting eaten by cannibals. Did he say anything about Bo trying to save him?
I can't wait till Peter Doocy gets a handle on KJP and asks him a question about Biden's Uncle Bodie being eaten by cannibals.
We'll see that one tomorrow.
Todd Daytona. Took me a long time to come to this conclusion, but our generation, Gen X, really failed all our children, because we failed to teach them about 9/11. We failed to teach them about socialism and communism and how bad it is. And everybody just wanted to be friends with their kids. Not me, but I'm not a dummy. I'm like, I don't think I am. Beto, beto.
Yeah, you're right. Gen X. That's not my generation, by the way. What am I, a baby boomer? I think I'm a boomer. Okay, boomer.
Hey, what's up, Shando? It's Sparky again. Yep, there he is, John Jensen, the voice of treason, the voice of reason. Today, he was the voice of reason. Love you, John. Great show, great interview, guys. Beedoo, beedoo.
Is that, are those cicadas in the background? When is that supposed to happen?
I thought we were already supposed to be into that.
I hadn't heard one yet.
Man, you're wrong about nuclear families, and everybody thinks they're perfect, but they definitely weren't. There were multiple issues. Just look at the women's liberation back in the 60s. It basically exposed the institution of marriage being responsible for women's oppression and tons of abuse. Go look it up.
We're wrong
Do
about
the research.
Wrong about the nuclear family. Yep. So reproducing children in a two-parent household has not been a success for America.
Except they have study after study shows that the children are more successful in a two-person household.
Right. They don't get arrested as much. They don't go to prison.
Heather, tell that woman that wants to give her baby up for adoption that in some states, I know South Carolina is one of them, that if the two of them were not married and the man did not financially support the woman or the baby, that she will does not need his signature to give the baby up for adoption. So she can temporarily make residence in another state and go through all that. And then, yeah, there's a way around it. So be-doo, be-doo.
All right.
Speaking of making collect phone calls, I remember back in the day whenever we used to make collect phone calls, we'd be like, call me back and spit out the number real quick and then sit there and wait for about 5 minutes to see if anybody called back. Nobody called back, do it again and wait another 5 minutes. Normally, somebody would call back.
Yeah, because you were just leaving a recording when it said, you're calling, is it from whom? Mm-hmm. And it was just a computer that called the person.
Yeah.
And said, you have a collect call from pick me up at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Do you accept? No. Wait, I missed this one.
What I'd love to see is anybody interview one of these protesters and just ask them, okay, after a ceasefire, what next? What does Israel do next? Because they still want to kill them and eliminate them, what should they do? I've never heard anyone answer that. I mean, do they ever ask that? Do they ever have an answer? It's so damn ridiculous.
It's all good, Shannon. I've never admitted to my penis pump either.
I'm curious about it because Bubba said he used it. Dr. Dan endorses the use of it, said it's a healthy thing to do. I'm going to see my doctor tomorrow morning. I'm going to ask him about it. We got a men's clinic doctor here tomorrow. We'll ask him about the penis pump as well. I might bring mine in and have him, give it a whirl.
Before I was living down in Key Largo, my wife and I were down here on vacation, and she says, hey, that looks like a fun little bar. Woody's right there. We should go there. And I looked at her and I said, honey, I'm not going to a bar named Woody's with a band called Big Dick and the Extenders playing. Later on that night, I found out that Woody's was a boob bar, so I missed my chance. Beedoo, beedoo.
Hey, guys, just a suggestion. If you guys use WhatsApp, realize in their policy that they say they can do whatever they want with your data. I think they're owned by Facebook or Google, neither of I trust. So, yeah, use Signal instead. I love Signal. It does everything WhatsApp can do, with the exception of you can only do like 2-minute videos at the max. But who cares? At least they don't screw with your data.
Hey, Shando. So I tased this one guy twice, and he told me it was the worst pain he'd ever felt and that he didn't recommend it for anybody. Beedoo-beedoo.
Well, context would be nice there. I tased this guy a couple times, said didn't like it.
Sounds like an other guy. And one hung low. Okay, they can fire on my orchestra now. I have enough of Chinese people work about 20 restaurants. We need no more Chinese come in. Okay, got to go. Got to see what my Chinese new Chinese workers doing.
Aw, sorry, Liberal Larry, that you didn't have a loving home. It says a lot about who you are.
Who could be down on the nuclear family?
Well, remember, nuclear family caused women to just get beaten relentlessly.
We're also in a birth rate deficit here in the country, which, is bad for humanity as a whole.
Liberal Larry ain't got a daddy. B-do-be-do.
Oh. Could you imagine if Liberal Larry was a part of your real life family circle interactions, the restraint it would take to not just smack the taste out of his mouth? It would have to be immense.
I think my little brother Sean is like that. I think he would say the same thing. He's been with the same girl for 15 years. They've never been married. They live together, have a house together.
Oh, okay, that is
not going to have children.
Yeah, I mean, that's still up there as a nuclear family. That's two people cohabitating that are both, probably both have their names on bills and things like that. Just because they don't put the name on it, it's still they're doing that act.
Right, they're living together. They're not having kids, though. They've decided, I guess. I don't know why.
Hey, G-Man. Yeah, I'm the original voice of treason, whatever. But yeah, he does. He's been more of the voice of reason lately. So yeah, kudos to him. But then Liberal Larry calls in and he's like, oh, nuclear family. Does he not remember Father Knows Best or Leave It to Beaver? Really? You do, beauty.
Hey, Shannon. Thought you said you didn't get the penis pump from Bubba yet.
I haven't. I haven't reviewed it yet. I get Amazon stuff all the time. I've just not received that. Unless my wife picked it up, I'm like, oh, what is that son of a... Oh, no.
Either that or it got to your neighbors. Has he been giving you weird looks lately?
that would be weird, wouldn't it?
I think Liberal Larry wants to have a sword fight with Jonathan Morris.
John Jensen, the voice of treason, just said on your radio program that Trump's going to have a hard time finding a vice president because he's going to get stabbed in the back. Give me a freaking break. That's no one who supports Trump. That means that you're bashing Trump.
I'm not so sure that he treason. Is a Trump supporter. I don't know.
I don't think he ever has been.
No.
I think Liberal Larry wants to have a sword fight with Jonathan Morris.
You're talking about a birth rate deficit. Don't you worry. I got a cousin. She's taking up the slack on that, buddy. She just had another one yesterday.
Birth rate deficit. Based on what we're seeing with the current age group, the youngins, I don't know that we're missing anything.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, I don't know. Ward was always kind of hard on the Beaver, if you know what I'm saying.
All right. Those are the remarks for today's show, chuckleheads. Thank you for leaving them. They're powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. We'll take our last break here to come back and wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show. A high school student in Ohio has been suspended for 3 days. We'll miss her prom. All because she brought a bag of corn chips to school. Miami Valley Career Tech Center prohibits bringing this kind of snack to the school because one teacher is severely allergic to corn. She was given some Takis chips on the school bus on the way to school, which, by the way, are delicious. There's a price to pay the next day for those, by the way, to warn you. She was hungry, so she ate them. She didn't finish them. She brought a bag inside the building with two Takis chips left. She ate the two right there when she got in, threw the bag, and went to class. The principal called her down to the office and asked her if she ate the chips. She said, yeah, And he said, oh, you're suspended for 5 days.
How allergic is this teacher?
They have a sign that says no corn.
I mean, what, the kid had corn, you know, for his breakfast and comes in there and breathes. Is that going to kill this teacher?
You know, under the guidelines outlined by the ADA, they got to safeguard the well-being of individuals, including students and staff, just like the district would attend to the needs of a student with a life-threatening peanut allergy. The school has taken proactive steps to communicate the rules since the beginning of each year with signage throughout the area and a formal acknowledgement process for students that will be taught in restricted classrooms. Every student who learns this particular area of the campus is in conjunction with a parent or guardian acknowledges that their understanding of the prohibition on corn products is specifically denied. Corn, it's a lot. Corn is in everything.
Let that kid go to prom.
Yeah.
Suspend him for the 3 days. Let him go to the prom.
Two Takis. Well, that's it for us today. Thank you. Thank you, Easy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you to John Jensen and to this great audience. You're amazing. We're back tomorrow, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. We follow Don Miller. Hysterically funny. He follows Bubba the Love Sponge. It's kind of funny sometimes, too. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a great night.